is The Hollywood Outsider, weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is episode 393. And this week, our From the Outside In topic is TV shows in need of an overhaul. We're going to have a movie and TV discussion. We're going to have upcoming releases. We're going to talk about spoiler-free reviews of Thor Ragnarok and A Bad Mom's Christmas. Be sure to get the Ho on the Go with our Apple or Android apps. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Reviews are appreciated. Spotify, iHeartRadio, your podcast app of choice. I just want to tell you guys, while I'm thinking about it, this is the first time we have ever, ever, all three of us been in the same room at the same time recording this podcast. We have beverages, which never, ever happens during an episode. So I can't promise it will be quite the level of skill and award-winning accuracy, respectfulness, and maturity that we normally have. Question mark. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
I'm a little jealous that your glass of whiskey is a little larger than mine.
Well, it should have been your whiskey you used then. That's
what I said. I didn't know whiskey was allowed. I would have brought my own, you know what I'm saying?
And John Davenport.
You know, I think it's because he has an ice cube.
And already we can't keep John in front of the microphone.
Nope, you can't do it.
20 seconds. The number one thing Scott and I said is make sure you're talking to the microphone. Scott's like, or John's like, yay, all right, so tell me about this podcast thing.
I've already warned you, I'm not going to stay still. And I was going to ask a cute question, like, how do you feel about having this fully operational battle station at the moment? But I think I'm already screwing that up. I'm like the janitor who keeps on going, showing up in the wrong place at the wrong time.
The janitor?
Yeah.
Why do you pick on the janitor? Why do you pick on the poor?
Is that a Thor reference?
Is it a Thor reference?
I'm just a janitor.
No.
Did we see the same movie?
Probably not. I liked it.
Did you guys listen to this podcast? We just recorded it. People have already heard it for 2 days, but, you know, if you haven't, we did a Thor spoiler cast, so please check that out. Let's go into some stuff, and then we'll have more fun as we go. But CBS is reviving The Twilight Zone once again, and you're going to have to pay for it. Looks like they're going all in on this all access, and speaking of streaming, acquiring new content, Lord of the Rings will soon be a TV show through Amazon Prime. How do you guys feel about these two things? We are obviously heading toward a la carte all the time. Cable's going away. We're getting a la carte.
And what's funny is I asked for that. I said that's what I want instead of that. And now that it's finally happening, I'm realizing that I was wrong and I don't want it. Because by the time you add it all up, it's going to be more than cable was. It drives me crazy. I don't even want cable anymore. I'm getting to the point where I'm fine with just my Netflix.
I'm all about my Netflix account too, but I have Amazon Prime and I have Hulu. And I love all three of those. So the a la carte doesn't really scare me or bother me. It's when you have these, like CBS, what they're doing is saying, we're going to keep our own thing behind our own gate and keep it separate from everybody else, which is not what a lot of these other studios are doing.
Yeah, because CBS has their own channel too. Greedy sons of bitches.
Right. Right. Netflix doesn't.
Yeah.
Netflix has just Netflix.
Right. And Hulu's everybody that wants to be on Hulu.
Yeah. Netflix is everybody except Kevin Spacey. Too soon? I don't know.
Might be too soon.
So are you guys happy these shows? Like, there we go, Scott. We touched on it. That's as close as we need to get.
So did he.
So did
he.
Damn it.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Question mark.
Eight times.
Do you guys care about these things? Like, Twilight Zone, do we need that back? And Lord of the Rings, should it be a TV show? Are they going to each season as they get a little closer to Mordor or what?
I'm more interested in Twilight Zone than Lord of the Rings because I kind of tapped out on more Lord of the Rings after the original trilogy with the The Hobbit mm-hmm. trilogy. I watched the first two and just never got into it enough to even finish it. So I'm pretty much done. But man, Twilight Zone was a great show in its time, and they tried to remake it back on network television years ago. Do you remember that? Like the new Twilight Zone.
Yes, and it was not that good.
It wasn't that good. There was something about it being in color that just didn't even feel right for some reason. But if it was done right and they actually played on that twist mechanic that at the end or just kind of – because Twilight – correct me if I'm wrong. Twilight Zone was always kind of about – had like a moral behind each episode or there was trying to give a message.
I wouldn't say a moral. I would say more – it had a point it was trying to make. So,
right.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And
yeah.
That's, we don't get that in TV shows anymore. Not smart ones, no. And so I'm excited for that. But at the same token, I'm not going to pay for another service just to see that show. I mentioned earlier that I'm all about Netflix. Netflix has more than just that original content. They've also got some of the back catalog, or they've got these TV series. They've got all this original, lots and lots of original content. I am not going to get CBS just to have Star Trek, which I've heard is really great. And Twilight Zone, that's two shows. Now, if it's $3-4 a month, maybe. But what is the CBS service now?
I think it's $6.99 or $5.99 or something like that. But you still get commercials.
Yeah.
And then it's like $10 if you don't want commercials.
Yeah, I'm out.
You know what you do? Why wouldn't you just pay for it like 1 month when it's all done and watch the season, binge it, and be done?
Well, there's people I know who do Netflix and Hulu that way. And actually HBO,
yeah.
So if you want a la carte, that's the right way to do a la carte. I haven't had a chance to look into what this Lord of the Rings TV show is going to be about. Did they go into that, or have they explained anything about what they're going to cover?
Briefly, it's just that they worked with Tolkien's estate. And they agreed that they will be shopping a series based on The Lord of the Rings. And they haven't really said exactly what it's going to be, though. Like, what they're going to follow. I assume it's going to be something in that world, not necessarily the story.
Right. So there's no more books, right? That was it.
Well, no, there's actually a catalog of books that go along with the book, the movies we've already seen.
It's almost fan fiction, though, because it's not Tolkien, right?
I was going to say, it's not Tolkien? Or is it Tolkien?
Tolkien.
I think there's something called the Silmarillion.
Tolkien Drift.
Yeah, Tolkien Drift.
By the way, the funniest meme I've seen on the internet in a while was that Tolkien. Remember that?
No. Huh.
Where they talked.
Loves memes, so.
No, they showed a picture of the Black Panther cast, and they said, I love that the only white guys in this thing are two characters from Lord
Tolkien
of the Rings.
Two white men.
And there was two Tolkien white. Oh, man, that made me laugh.
That's right. Pretty great. Pretty funny. So there is a... If I remember correctly, there is a catalog of other things that are written by Tolkien that are part of this whole series. It's just that the bigger titles are The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. So if they're covering that bigger catalog, which is where some of the Hobbit stuff came from, how they filled up Hobbit, that's where some of that stuff came from.
Because they had to have it in three movies.
Right, because it had to be three instead of just the half-hour movie they could have done with it. That's where this is coming from. So if they're pulling that, I think that's a very interesting idea, and I'm fine with it being Amazon, because Amazon does have some really great content. And
do they though? I mean, I haven't seen anything. Man in the High Tower.
Man in the High Castle is great.
Tower Castle, same difference.
Bosch is really great. The Tick is awesome.
You keep telling us, yeah.
Hey, just because you don't want to try it.
I don't. That's true. Right. I don't. Yeah.
Did you like the original though?
I like the guy that was what's his name?
Warburton.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton. I like him. I don't like the Tick. No. I like him. I'll watch him do anything. You know, he was even great in Scream 3. Right. He's just great in everything he does.
Well, you wouldn't like this because this is too much like the cartoon to me.
Yeah,
me is a good thing.
I didn't really like the first TV. I've never understood the fervor over that show. But really, we're talking about Lord of the Rings. So let's get back to Lord of the Rings.
That's quite a tangent, by the way.
Right. He's just like, let's just talk about the Tick for an hour.
Hello. I could do that.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we know. Why haven't you guys watched it? You got a second season, right? It's coming back.
No, it's still in the first season.
No, it got renewed, though.
Did it get renewed?
Yeah.
I haven't been paying attention. All I know,
love the show.
I've been waiting for the second half of the first season.
Wait, isn't this? Oh, that's not Netflix. That's Amazon.
It's Amazon. Oh, so they did six episodes, and then they in February then the second six episodes are coming out because the producers did not want to do everything all at once.
Gotcha.
I want a whole season of them walking, and that's the joke. That's what everybody's going to say. I don't care. I'm going to make it too. That's
like what Clerks 2 reference right there.
Yeah, I think it's every fan at this point makes that joke. But
walking the TV show,
someone had to do it, so I did it. Disney is once again showing theaters who's the boss, not like Tony Danza style, by locking down more requirements and taking more money. What are they doing exactly, and why are they doing it, Scott?
Well, here's what they're doing. The theaters, as you know, the theaters themselves don't make a ton of money off of the movies themselves. A big cut of it goes to the studios.
Hence buy popcorn. Yep.
Hence why we have our tagline here. So what they're requiring for The Force Awakens, sorry, not The Force Awakens, but The Last Jedi, is for the theaters to give up 65% of the theater ticket sales to Disney as opposed to the 40 to 55 that they usually get. So on top of that, they've got to keep the movie in the theater for at least 4 weeks, which sometimes movies only last two, depending on how well they do. And if they don't, then they're required to give an additional 5% on top of the 55 that they're already
65,
excuse me, that they're required to. So here's the thing. I understand that everybody just kind of wants to hate Disney at this point, and I understand the implications that go with that, how theaters are going to have to compensate, and the only way they can compensate is by increasing concession prices. I get that. Guys, this is a business. It's supply and demand. They've got a property that they know they want that's going to be hot. They want it in the theaters as long as possible. And it's not like it's going to be that big a deal to keep this theater in there for this movie in those theaters for that long. Look at Force Awakens. How many times did people go see that, and how long was it getting a run in theaters? You could probably keep it in there longer than 4 weeks and it'd be fine.
It was probably in the theater for 2 months straight.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like 4 weeks does not seem like it's that big of a deal.
So. I think it's more, the thing I have a problem with is that they need to make that money somewhere. Somewhere they're going to make that money, which means they're either going to make it off our backs.
Disney buys MoviePass. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a fair option. That could happen. That could happen. But so, yeah, it's great for Disney. And I get that they have the buying power to do it, but at the same token, mm-hmm. they are
comes back around again.
It does. It absolutely does. They are 100% going to have to get that money somewhere, which means you're going to get your popcorn is going to be $64 instead of $63. Your pop's going to be $112 instead of $110. I mean, there's just everything's going to go up. There's no way something doesn't go up to make to offset that.
Yeah, but the difference is that you have
us. Disney is going to hit us just like they always.
But you can. I understand that's our tagline, and I don't want to go against that. But you can make the decision to not spend that money. You can't make the decision to not spend the ticket price unless you have other options like MoviePass. But you can go see a movie without getting concessions. It is possible. I know you don't want to hear that.
You can, but you shouldn't.
I know. I knew you weren't going to like me saying that. But
no, I mean, hey, if you're not hungry, you're not hungry. Just don't sneak it in. That's all I'm saying. That's
sure.
Rude.
But I mean, you can go to dinner beforehand. You can.
Probably cheaper.
I mean, it probably is. You could probably go get dinner at Chili's or something for. This episode brought to you by Chili's.
You could probably go with Chris.
I want my baby back ribs.
Ribs.
Dum, 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 dum.
Well, I mean, I famously go to the theater where I get my dinner with my movie, so I don't even pay attention to that.
Is it really
part of
famously?
It.
I mean, you might be stretching a little bit. Tell everybody that I hear, so it's famously.
You say right. Famously, I say notoriously.
Oh, same difference. I mean,
I say a lot.
Tomato, tomato. I say it a lot. So what's going to happen, though, is the theater going to turn around and make this the reason why they're going to charge more? Are they going to say, okay, which movie are you going to? Oh, I'm going to see Star Wars. Okay, you're going to pay $1 more.
I thought
for this.
About that. How could they?
No, they're going to raise concessions. They won't do it with one movie. They will raise concessions. They will make it so it's an extra 50 cents, buck, whatever, for a large popcorn.
No matter what that. Or who or where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and the problem is that we buy it. I mean, I understand you. That's a good thing to you because you want the theaters to stay in business.
I don't think it should come to that. I think Disney's. I mean, I get that they have the buying power, but they're also being a little greedy here. I mean, they're getting more money and they're charging a penalty. So if they happen to – everything is based on market, right? So some markets, it's going to play better than other markets. So say Star Wars happens to play in a market where they just don't give a rat's ass about Star Wars. It happens, America.
Sure.
It happens. So that theater can't put in something that's more profitable for them because if they do, Disney charges them an additional 5%.
5% of the lower ticket. Oh, everything, not just that movie.
Yeah, across the board, that they've as long as they've had that movie in their theater for that.
Oh, so for whatever.
So if they
movie.
Had it for 3 weeks and they took it out a week early, they would have to pay a 5% penalty on anything they've already made. They've already like
on profits, all the other movies.
On Last Jedi, all the profits from the past 3 weeks of Last Jedi.
Well,
that's not fair. I don't think that's fair. I think that's just monopolizing.
Well, it's like Apple trying to rule the world. They do the same thing.
Apple,
well,
Google, and Disney.
And I don't think that's right either.
No, it's not. And I think that's where never mind. It's a stupid tangent to get on about Apple trying to ruin the world. But one company.
Well, you might
doing
as well.
It.
Steve Jobs can't do it.
Right.
Too soon?
Maybe.
No, no such thing.
No. Companies look at another company that are doing something specific, and they say, well, it works in this kind of market. Why wouldn't that work in our market? We are apparently the measuring stick. Like, they are the measuring stick. We can do that sort of thing. So yeah, I get where that thinking goes, and it is pretty greedy. And I'm sorry, Scott, I'm on Aaron's side on this.
I don't think he was when he started talking, though.
I really wasn't.
I think he just talked himself.
You just talked
yourself.
I did
because I was like, you know, who gives a crap, man? It is what it is. And then all of a sudden, I just talked myself into hating this.
But you also look at it that yes, there are markets that happens. I feel like those markets are so few and far between.
And you know, there's probably I'm sure that's probably true. Star Wars is one of those properties, but on the same token, I really want to avoid that word now for the rest of this podcast. I never want to say it.
You're sick of your own joke at
I
this
am.
Point.
I am sick of my own. I'm sick of myself as a person.
So are we?
Wow, that are. You know what? Bye. Where's my drink? I just
clinky.
These guys are. You guys are toasting each other over that. That's not cool. That's really not cool. I don't even know what my point was anymore. I just feel like it's a small theater house and 3 weeks and Star Wars isn't kicking for them and something big and huge is coming and they can't put it in their theater and they got to pay 5% a penalty. I just don't think that's fair.
Well, and if you read it, it's not every theater. It's larger theaters. It's not small theater houses. The article did say that.
I don't know where it said. Did it say that?
It didn't say not small. It said select large theater chains.
That could be like a mom and pop show that happens to be an AMC as well.
Right.
You know, or something. It could be a smaller theater. Just it's an AMC rep.
Okay. I
mean, yeah. Or Regal, or those are the two big ones. But all right. Well, I think we all have good points. Let's just agree to disagree.
Well, I think somebody here at the table does. I'm not sure if I do or not.
No.
I just think you go watch the movie at a theater you can have dinner at too.
Well, let's talk about Jane Bond, or people that have clamored for a female James Bond. And Hollywood is finally going to give them original female spy stories. Do you think this is actually turning a trend, or is this – we've already been here before?
I think we've been in the vicinity of this before. Just about every Angelina Jolie movie that was an action piece was kind of in this neighborhood. You had Boiling Point, La Femme Nikita. We've been in this vicinity, but I think the difference is going to be they're going to take more of a incidental look at the sexiness of the character versus making it something where it is specifically – we're going to make this character sexy and strong and all this other stuff. Kind of like with how Wonder Woman was incidentally beautiful and sexy, and it just happened to be something she was versus I'm going to arch her back this certain way for this shot for no good reason, or I'm going to do this.
There's a good reason. Maybe not a mature reason.
Right.
But there were some, you know, like spinning kick crotch shots with Wonder Woman.
I think you're trying a little hard for that one.
Little lecherous shot. There's a few lecherous shots.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a few where you know Patty Jenkins wasn't there on set that day. Mm. And like Hank the second director. Second
I'd say more in Batman vs. Superman than Wonder Woman.
Oh, well, that explains Zack Snyder.
Yes, that's Zack Snyder. Yeah. So yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
And then
where he's like, go slower. Literally.
Slow down. Oh, that's not slow enough. Let me turn this dial down. Yeah.
Makes it uncomfortable.
But your point on Wonder Woman, I think, is there's more to that, too. I think that Wonder Woman is the movie that the industry needed to really make this kind of thing happen. Because what's the stat you shared with us earlier this week about Wonder Woman?
Well, I made that up. What? No,
it's the most profitable origin story comic book movie, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
It's like ever, of all time.
It passed Spider-Man, the one that had Uncle Ben in it.
Which one?
The first one. The only one.
With who?
I'm just kidding. The good one. The best one.
Oh, right.
My point being, like, this is going – that was the tip of the iceberg and what we're going to see in the future. And I like the idea of this not being a novelty where you've got the female character that is a strong female character. And it's not like, oh, let's go see it because it's a woman character and it's something different. I just like it just being just another character. And I think Wonder Woman is springboarding that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense because you have a character who – everybody can appreciate for every sort of reason. The guys can appreciate for it being a very cool action movie, and it doesn't have to focus on any sort of weird feelings or anything else like that. It has to just be a good, strong story with action. Women can focus on it because they can see themselves in that role and be able to carry on and be a part of the movie like we have been able to be a part of the movie our entire lives.
Right.
Well, Barbara Broccoli, she's working on an adaptation of Mark Burnell's who's in charge of the James Bond franchise, by the way. So she knows spies. And the thriller, The Rhythm Section, it's going to star Blake Lively, and it's directed by The Handmaid's Tale helmer Reed Morano.
Had me at Blake Lively.
Yeah, and The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, I know you haven't watched that, but that's a fantastic show. So I think he'll treat it with respect, you know. And Keira Knightley is going to play a secret agent in an untitled original script from the Newsroom scribe Camilla Blackett.
Hopefully it's better than Domino.
Ooh, yeah.
Wasn't it supposed to be a quote-unquote true story?
It was quote-unquote bad movie.
Well, that wasn't a quote. It was just a bad movie.
Yeah, I literally just said it. It's a quote.
Go ahead. That was the quickest quote ever. Plus, he quoted himself.
Right.
I did. I'm going to go put it on my own poster. This is Aaron's poster. Look at this. So there's some cool stuff. And there's another one coming from Lionsgate. It's going to be like a spinoff of John Wick. Like
with
female
your girl?
John Wick.
With your girl, right?
Which one? Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah.
That's a different movie.
Oh,
it's
different
movie. It is a spy movie, yeah.
Red Sparrow.
Red Sparrow, yeah. And I'll see it.
Well, what's the last like spy movie we got that had a female lead? I mean, I know we had Spy with Melissa McCarthy, but that was more of a comedy. It was good.
She was a great spy, though. So
she was.
I'm concerned, actually. Spinoff of John Wick, which spinoff character are they going to spin off from?
They're expanding that world. So it's going to be a female-fronted spinoff. I don't know who the character will be yet. I hope it's not Ruby Rose, though, because she was not good.
No, she wasn't. I mean, Adrian Palicki?
I would watch Adrian Palicki.
I would watch Adrian Palicki do it.
Yeah. I don't know.
She was in the first one. She was the assassin that tried to kill him when he was in the bed.
John Wick.
Okay. John Wick, the
first woman you're talking about is the one with the real short hair that was on Orange is the New Black. Is that
that's John Wick 2. Yeah, okay. That's one we didn't like.
Thank God.
Australian.
Yeah, well, who cares? She didn't talk. And then that's
Justin Bieber in John Wick 2.
Okay. Right.
Now you know who she is.
Gotcha.
All right, you guys ready to go to our From the Outside In topic? Yes.
Sure.
I just love that I get to look into both of your eyes while we have a conversation. It's kind of strange.
You know what else is strange? Going to see Thor with all of us, and Scott's dressed as Luigi from Super Mario Brothers.
That's literally the first time John has ever seen me in real life was me dressed like Luigi.
Yeah, and the first thing I did was say, jump on my back. And he's like, no, that's okay. And I'm like, no, jump on my back. Let's go.
No, I didn't say, no, let's not do this. I didn't understand that's what you were trying to tell me to do. I thought you were joking.
And John's like, ride me like Yoshi.
That's exactly what I was like, no, come on. And he's like, okay, fine. Finally, he jumps on my back, and I run him into the movie theater.
You meet somebody for the first time, and the first thing they say to you is, quick, jump on my back. Do you think that they're being serious?
I call the police most times. eight, nine times out of ten.
Well,
there's one time where I turn around and say, let's do this.
Here's the funny thing, though, is like there's a line going into the theater. I'm at the back of it. John comes and gets me. I jump on his back, and he carts me into the front of the line. I'm worried that all these people behind me are pissed off that this mook dressed up in costume is getting to the front of the line where you guys were like first in line.
Yeah, so you think anyone's going to really argue with me too much?
Because you're carrying me on your back?
Well, there's that, too.
I'm sorry, if you're implying you're a threatening presence, the answer is no.
Well, I mean,
We are from Chicago, friend. You are not a threatening presence.
I am, too. I promise you.
He's from Florida.
I am from Florida.
They have bath salts. And
we have bath. I can turn into a zombie at any given moment.
You got to be a lot more than a bigger guy to scare us. Trust me.
Yeah. I had him on my back, and it was no big deal.
That's like Tuesday in Chicago.
All right.
Am I wrong, Scott?
It's not Portland, but...
It's not Portland. It's so random.
Dude, have you been to Portland?
I didn't know they had weird stuff like guys riding around on other guys' backs in Portland.
Oh, then you've been to the wrong parts of Portland then.
Or the right ones. It really depends on your perspective.
Portland's known for... Have you seen Portlandia? Like, Portland's being super weird. Like, that's like
they have people riding... All right, well, this whole conversation is getting super weird.
This is taking a left turn somewhere.
This week, we're going to talk about TV shows in need of an overhaul. So we all love TV shows. Sometimes they just keep going on and on and on, like this podcast. And you have to wonder why people still watch and or listen to them. When is that moment for you that you check out of a favorite? Like, and I'm talking a favorite TV show. I'm not talking about, you know, something you kind of liked or whatever. I mean something you loved and you finally say, I can't do this anymore. What's that moment like for you?
That moment... I will sit there and watch a show and be like, what is happening right now? And then I'll reflect on what the last few episodes have been like for me. And I go, oh, right. I fell asleep every single episode for the last month and a half. To me, that's a big deal because...
That's a pretty big deal.
That's a big deal. And if I can't... usually when I'm checked into a show, I am there. I'm ready for the show. I want to be there. But if I'm watching it and it cannot keep me from falling asleep, I've got a big problem. Part of the reason why something like that happens is that I'll start picking up on the rhythm of the show. And if they don't change the rhythm at all, you know, thing A happens, thing B happens next, thing C. If I know that rhythm of the show and it's always the same answer every single time and you can spot it, I'm out.
Is that your sleeping sound?
Oh, yeah.
That's very well done.
Yeah.
It's sexy, almost right? Like you just fell asleep.
Right. Mid-sentence.
I'm not convinced you didn't. What about you, Scott? When's like that moment where you check out?
It's when they start milking the show just to keep it on and stretch it out as long as possible. Like shows like Breaking Bad quit while they were supposed to.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like that was...
John was literally getting ready to punch you in the face.
No, we're coming to ours.
His fist got all clenched. He's like, go ahead. Go ahead and say...
Remember when we clinked glasses earlier?
Yeah.
We're still cool,
we're
right?
We're still cool. We're all right.
No, like that's a show that did it right. That like it found that groove. It didn't extend it longer than it needed to be. And when you just start doing it just to kind of keep it on the air and make money, and it becomes less art and more business, which doesn't sound like me at all. Mm-hmm. That's right, check out that. Or when you start getting random filler episodes that just feel like they don't belong, and you're doing it just to have a week or something. And again, Breaking Bad, love the show. There was one episode that felt like filler to me. The fly.
I love that episode.
I do like that episode too, but and that worked
not as
because
canon,
it wasn't every season that you didn't have like three or four filler mm-hmm. episodes. It was that one episode that totally worked. And this is an obscure reference, but there's an anime series called Bleach. Are you familiar with?
I've heard of
Bleach.
It.
And I got about, no joke, 250 something episodes into
Holy
that show.
Sh-
and it's a show that's based on the manga, and the show was waiting for the manga to get written to be able to actually have the regular show go on. So they would have like whole arcs that were filler. No, it's not cool.
That's not cool at all. That's what I meant when I said
No, it's cool that they were waiting for the manga, but like, because they weren't expecting it to be popular, I guess. I don't know. But so they had all this whole side arc with the teddy bear character that was like super dumb. And I'm like, I checked out and I gave up because I was sick of the catch up arcs on that show. So yeah, that's where I check out.
I'm very much in, it's really hard for me. Like it's almost like it just happens. Scott, he's giving me faces. That's hard to do this when we're in person. There's a lot of shows where I enjoy them. I watch them. I can't look directly at Scott right now and I can't tell anyone why, but if you go back about 30 seconds, you might be able to figure out the kind of looks he was giving me. And
hey, you're the one that wanted to do this in person, man. Yeah, I could have done this from my house just as easily.
Should have done it from your house. When I'm watching a show, Arrow is a prime example. It's like the best one I can think of where I was watching it. I wasn't falling asleep, but I found myself at some point in one of the seasons, just checking my phone or, you know, putting a Facebook status like, hey, and it wasn't, I'm putting a Facebook like, hey, I'm watching Arrow. It's something else because I'm thinking of everything else but Arrow. It completely lost me. Flash was the same way, where I love Flash for, you know, two or three seasons. And then it got to one point where it was just absolutely ridiculous and I didn't know what to do. So I checked out. I just said, you know what? I'm done. And I get to that.
But what specifically is it doing that's checking you out?
That's just it. You know, especially with Arrow, they've often said, we're going back to the roots and everything else. And I really don't know what they could do to make it interesting again. I don't know if they have too many people running around town in capes and stuff, and it just doesn't make sense anymore. Flash, I have a problem with the fact that there are the villain is exactly the same every single season. So I feel like it's just a replay of the previous season. I don't feel like it's fresh at all anymore. I don't know what exactly it is. I just know that at some point I just get tired of watching. I feel like I'm watching something I've already watched and it's new. And at that point, I'm like, all right, I'm done. Walking Dead's had me there several times. And honestly, I probably wouldn't watch it if my wife didn't make me anymore. But that's one where I'm required by law to make me watch it.
Was that in your wedding vows?
Apparently just added. The season is what I found out.
I didn't know you could add your wedding vows.
You tried to quit it, didn't you?
I have tried to quit it twice now. Yeah, twice now. And she really made me feel bad. Now, she didn't say you have to watch it, but it's very much, well, I guess I'll just watch it. But I'm like, no.
You know, it's like a guilt trip.
Yeah, it's like pack your bags. We're going on a guilt trip. All right,
enjoy the couch, buddy.
I sleep on the couch most of the time. I like to fall asleep on the couch. I don't know, guys that don't do that. It's fun to get comfortable and watch TV as late as I want. It's fun, John. Don't look at me.
I do that, but I just have to watch it on my phone while I'm laying next to my wife.
Yeah, but you always make it sound like it's not comfortable.
It's not. That's why I bought a little apparatus.
I like that you see. I just stay on my couch. I'll fall asleep on my couch if I want to.
I can't. I like in bed, but I used to.
My couch is like a bed, though. Have you seen my couch? You can lay down on my couch. It's like a bed. It's comfortable. Yeah. Well, everybody, I mean, come on over. We're gonna have a slumber party.
Well, the thing is, I can't watch on the TV because I used to do that. I would watch just on the TV in the bedroom and then turn it off. But my wife likes to sleep with the fan, and she will not turn it on.
We don't want to get Scott going on the fan.
Don't get me going on a stupid fan. I swear to God, you ask why I've got circles under my eyes, it's because of the damn fan.
And your wife's listening to this, and now she feels bad. And you put her, pack your bag, Stephanie. We're going
not
to
bad enough.
Well, I'm on her side for the fan. The fan's very important.
Screw you guys and your fans. Like, where do we get to, like, where people can't sleep without a fan?
Where do we get to the point where people can't put their phone down, Scott?
My phone is not in my hands.
Damn it, he's right. This is not a time where I can use that.
That was bad timing on your part.
I've really got to work on that. Jeez. He's got me. I can't use it. All right, let's get back on topic. So, John, do you know what I'm talking about?
Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I watch both of the shows. I watch both of the shows. I don't get the same feeling from them because Arrow, Flash, and one other show became appointment television for me and a buddy. So he and I will watch the show and we will interact with each other during the show. And I think that's why I've been able to stay involved with those. But I think what you're describing is something what I'm describing, where it becomes, you are so used to how the story progresses and nothing really changes with it that you don't have to feel like you're a part of it anymore. You can, okay, I'm getting the story and boom, I sent off that status.
And by the way, here's what I'm eating for dinner.
Right.
With a bite missing for some reason. We need to take pictures of that. By the way, if you do that, stop it. It's gross. Sorry. Side tangent.
Unless you're making a pancake sandwich.
No, it's still gross. Oh, did you do that?
I did that.
I seriously feel bad now because I did not know that.
Well, I made a pancake.
People do that. Why do you take pictures of food that you took a bite out of? I don't want to see your choppers. I don't.
Dude, you have the weirdest things that bother you.
I really do.
I just don't understand.
I do.
Didn't some guy like just offer you a bite out of his burger at the restaurant we were at?
This is a true story. We were at a restaurant and I was at the urinal. I went to pee.
He offered you food at a urinal?
No. He wasn't at the urinal when he offered food.
We were at the urinal and he's like, hey, how's it going? And you know, if you've ever been to a urinal.
Hey, is this where all the dicks hang out?
You don't normally have these talks. And we're just talking. He's like, I've never been here before. I'm really excited about this place. I'm like, yeah, what are you getting? And it's like a stuffed burger kind of thing.
You never talked to a dude at the urinal?
Yeah, I know. I know the rules. But I did because, hey, I felt like it.
It's like never make eye contact during a devil's three-way.
And he's like, I've got a salmon patty burger. I'm like, I really want to try that. But every time I come here, I end up getting something else. But I really want to try that. And he's like, I'll let you know how it is or something. And I walk out and he's right there at the bar and he just got it just got delivered to him. He's like, hey, you want to buy it? I just got it. And I'm like, man, part of me is like, yeah, I do. I really do. But I can't. I just can't make myself do it.
So he offered you the first bite.
He did. And I still couldn't do it.
That's how meaningful that relationship at the urinal was.
Yeah.
You know what? People make friends, man.
That's right.
People make friends.
What if he like cut off like a bite?
He was willing to. He was willing. It's not like he just said, let's bite it together. Let's do.
Oh, like Lady and the Tramp style?
Let's do this Lady and the Tramp style. We should probably get back once again. This is what happens when we're all together. We just fall off the rails.
We're really sorry.
If this is your first podcast, I promise you, we're normally a lot more on
all this cast. Episode is missing is some Taco Bell.
No. Yeah, go get yourself some. Let's take some shows you used to love. You watched them for years, you were a fan, but you either stopped completely or your interest is completely fading. What would it take on these particular shows? So that they're still on the air, most likely, is what I'm going for here. What would it take for these shows to win your interest back?
Well, you already talked about one of mine. That's Walking Dead. I gave up on that after the first episode of last season when
the infamous
real violent episode. Yeah. And part of it, to be honest, was my wife was checked out. That was a show we watched together. And when that show just went to the depths that it did, she was like, I'm done.
Did you miss it? Did you want to be done with it? Or
I had already kind of gotten tired of it up to that point. I thought that that moment was interesting, but I felt like it was never going to get that high again. I don't know. I had been bored with it. And parts of the reasons that I was bored with it is I felt like the show had just lost direction or purpose. Like it wasn't going anywhere meaningful anymore. It was just all about just horrible people doing horrible things to each other, and it just wasn't interesting anymore. Like that show started off great. They had a mission to get to the CDC and try to figure out what the problem was, and then it never did again. I felt like there was no end game in sight. And if you're seven seasons into a show and there's still no end game, you're still just fighting against people trying to survive in this world. It's getting old to me. So if that show's going to save me, it's got to give me some kind of at least hint towards an end game. Because I have no idea where that – again, I'm a season behind, so I have no idea what happened in the last season. But can you guys tell me? Is there any
– No, that's exactly why I am at the point where I don't want to watch it anymore. Because there's no end game. None. I mean, don't get me wrong. It doesn't have to be this season.
Right.
It could be five seasons – or not five, but two, three, four seasons from now. Just give me an indication that you are going somewhere instead of just going. I know some people – well, that's what the comic's like. I don't care. This is television. This is not a comic book. Comic books are meant to last infinitely. TV shows are not. They are meant to have a finite timeline. And most TV shows, unfortunately, stretch it out long past their due date and end up like hurting themselves in the history process.
How tall is Carl, by the way, now?
He's like 8 feet tall. He's Aquaman. It's weird.
He's actually playing Aquaboy.
Yeah, he's playing Aquaboy. So I'm with you. I think it needs an endgame. That's the biggest problem with that show is there is – and when Robert Kirkman, every time he gives an interview, the creator of the comic book and also an executive producer on the show, he gives any interview, he always says the same thing. I can envision this going on for 20 years. That makes me not want to watch anymore. I don't want to spend 12 more years. What'd you say?
Something. The Simpsons.
Yeah, or Gunsmoke or something. I don't need 20 years of that show.
Well, even then, The Simpsons is about every episode.
Right.
This show is not about every episode. They're telling you this long procedural story. And it's I checked out at the same time you did. And the reason why – I had a couple of different reasons why, which was I got tired of the emotional assault I had the season before. And then for this to happen – for them to start this season with this sort of emotional assault – I really didn't want anyone playing with my emotions anymore. And
I like playing with my emotions.
Well, I get playing with my emotions, but they were having way too much fun with it. And I couldn't deal with that anymore. Yeah, you're both right about there being no end game. The other thing is that there's a lot of villains that kind of live in a gray area. I think Negan's the closest one to being all black, but most of them live in a gray area where you can sort of get them. You sort of understand what's going on.
Well, because all the humans are still technically on the same side, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So I have a problem with people who live in a gray area when it comes to them being the villain. It's like, well, I totally get what they're doing. Sure, it makes them kind of interesting, but I don't want that much interesting, especially when you have a show that's holding my emotions hostage.
Mm-hmm.
Just waiting for them to kill your favorite character every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, what's your other one, Scott?
My other one is Bloodline. I don't know if you guys watched that.
I thought that is over, isn't
the,
it?
This was the last season.
Oh, I apologize. I thought it was still going because I gave up on it in season two. Oh. So it's on season – it had a third season and wrapped up?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
come out? The third season already came out?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that. But go ahead.
It came out this year, though.
Okay.
Well, the first season of Bloodline was great. It was my wife and I watched that, I think, in a weekend. It was so engaging. And kind of like with Walking Dead, that first season had an end game. It had a mystery to it, you know, with the sister. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a mystery going behind that. And by the time the second season came around, the show just turned into who could be – which of these four brothers and sisters could be the more awful human being. And that's like what I felt like the show was. And I just lost interest.
Well, it's actually three because remember at the end of the first.
Oh, you're right.
End of the first season, I lost another one.
So, I don't know. It just became there was no end in sight. It was just all about cover up, and it was all about who could get away with this and that, and how you know, Kevin being a drunk. And there was nothing redeeming about it. The first season was enjoyable, even though they were horrible human beings. They had something to, you had a mystery, you had something that needed to be answered. And the way they set it up for season two was great. Got halfway through season two and it just lost interest for me. So I apologize that I picked one that's not on the air anymore, there's a reason I didn't know it was on the air because I quit watching it for that very reason.
Well, to be fair, if you saw because we always put the topic in the Facebook group every week, and I didn't word it correctly the first time, so people didn't realize it anyway, so it's very possible that it's my fault. I'm taking full responsibility for your screw-up.
It's just such a bummer because
even though it was your screw-up, I'm taking full responsibility.
That's a first. I appreciate this show so much, but it's one that like I'm leery to recommend because the first season was so good. It was dark, and you don't like the dark stuff, John.
Well, I don't, but I like that show.
But there was something about it that just worked, and the mystery and the way it wrapped up was really satisfying, and the setup for the second season was oh, okay, you got me, and then I just never went back. I felt the same about The Killing. Remember The Killing on AMC?
Yes.
Like that first season was great, but then after that, I just stopped caring. I don't even know.
It's almost like they felt like they had to bring it back for ratings, but they didn't know what they wanted to do with it.
That's a show that should have been just one season.
Mm-hmm. It would have been great for one season.
Just one and done.
Yeah.
But nope, it got popular, and then we got to milk it out. And
yep. Think of all the
That was the one
pieces.
That they promised to give you the killer, right, at the end, and then they didn't do it.
Yep.
Well, they did in the second season.
Yeah, but they promised at the end of the first season will know who the killer was, and they didn't tell you.
Yeah. The way Bloodline wraps up is good. I'm trying to word it in a great way, but it actually is a.
And you thought good was the answer to that?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I was trying to be too. I don't know. I'm trying to walk a line on it.
I teach fourth grade. We call them spicy nacho cheese words. When you want something better, you need something spicier, nacho cheesier than good.
All right. Let's see if I can come up with that.
You wordsmith, you.
I am. I totally am. The way they wrapped it up is satisfying.
That's better. We're getting warmer.
We're getting warmer. Closer. They actually gave a satisfying wrap up for the whole show.
Were you ecstatic over this ending?
Are
you elated?
I was not elated or ecstatic. I appreciated it.
Did you get
it.
A little hyperbolic about it?
I did not get hyperbolic either. Okay. No.
I am buying John a thesaurus for Christmas.
Apparently, you can get the fifth grade one, and it'll be fine.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, John, what are your two shows that you're lost interest in? You've lost interest in?
The first one that lost me is Scandal. Scandal started out as a great show about a group of people who go and they help these rich people, I guess you can call them, or people in bad situations that are in a public eye, get out of those situations.
I love that first season. I never watched it after that, but I love the first season.
Yeah, the first season is great. Mm-hmm. Then it starts to become – the show evolves more and more about a scandal between the lead character and the president of the United States.
She's having an affair, right?
Right. They're having an affair. And the thing about that is that it's – yeah, it's fine for a couple episodes, but it was – everything became all about that story. And then it boiled down to her getting an abortion at some point and then trying to go back. And it was just – it started to get to become a very convoluted mess, and I didn't want to deal with it.
Soap opera? Was it like a soap
opera?
Very
much soap opera. The thing that would have made it better is that if they stuck with the whole – her being a DC fixer – and then there's a great character who plays her father, and I can't remember the actor's name right now, but he's an amazing actor.
Joe Morton.
Joe, yes. God, Aaron knows everything.
Well, we just talked about him on a TV villain battle royale about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, but I don't have a memory.
That I believe was your pick.
It was my pick.
Okay.
I like him. Doesn't mean I know his name.
Okay.
All right. So
we'll call him Big Joe.
Big Joe. So anyhow, Big Joe, who is Papa Pope, as some people like to call him, is an amazing villain, and he's this super... super spy kind of character who destroys governments with all sorts of awesome plans. I would have liked to see the show evolve into these two characters who are related through it's her father, turn this into a much more interesting show of a cat and mouse or a chess game between father and daughter of how to destroy and rebuild and destroy and rebuild.
And how she saves him and he tries to bring it down and she saves him. And
okay. Yeah.
I would watch that. I actually really liked that first season. The only reason I didn't come back to it was, what's his name from Lost left? Henry Iancusa?
Yep, whatever? Henry Iancusa.
He went to the 100, and after he left, I'm like, yeah, that was really the main reason I was watching.
He was a really cool character, too. That was a really big shame for them. I don't know why he left.
Probably, according to the way Hollywood is now, he was probably doing something perverted. That's probably what I'm guessing. There was a scandal. I just had to get that
there. There's a new TV show called Scandal on Scandal.
You know what? Hollywood could just have a TV show called Scandal at this point. My God, they're making me... It's making it real hard to talk about news right now.
It really is.
It really is. Pick something that's not in this.
There's
scandal.
Nothing else. There's just nothing else.
It's killing me, man. I don't like reading this. I don't like gossip stuff. And I know it's for a lot of people, it's not gossip. It's very important. But I also feel like I don't need it every day. I mean, it's becoming like Trump. I don't want to see this every day.
I mean, to some degree,
but it's a good thing.
We do need it every day.
We do need it. We do need it. I mean,
we keep hearing about it, and all these people keep coming out, and they need to be encouraged to come out again if it's happening. It's, and again, that's not me saying it's not.
The magic of Hollywood is coming down. That's the problem. It's like for years I've had this Spielbergian view of the movie world, and now it's.
Yeah, but if this is what it's taken for that magic to be there, is that a good thing? You know what I mean?
That's like, true.
Yeah, you got to burn it all down before you can build it back up again. And some cool things that are happening is like you have Alec Baldwin who's saying, you know what? I've been a real a-hole to people, and I am sorry.
Well, duh.
Well, yeah.
They have an article called Duh for that one.
But for somebody to actually be that introspective about it and say, hey, guess what? I've been an a-hole. Surprise.
Or is that him getting ahead of it?
That's probably him getting ahead of it, too.
Yeah, there could be a lot of that. Sorry, guys.
I told you guys.
We got off again on a tangent. Sorry.
It's all right. It's like when I get to see you guys, it's...
But doesn't he get a pass? Like, why does he get a pass? Why does he get a pass because he does a funny Trump impression? You're a jackass in life.
We don't know if he's getting a pass yet or not because nobody's
been getting a pass.
Nobody's come out and said anything against him. So we can't sit there and say he's getting a pass. He's come up and said, hey, you know what? I've probably been an a-hole to people. Right. Until we've got more allegations or allegations that we haven't forgotten about that's about Alec Baldwin, then he's not getting a pass.
I will actually defend the daughter thing because I'm like, if you have a daughter. Sometimes you say things you really regret and you shouldn't say, and they're horrible things. It doesn't mean you believe
somebody
that.
Posted that. I didn't listen to it. What did he say?
It's a really horrible, called her a dirty pig and all this other
he
stuff.
He went on a horrible, mean, just cruel tangent on his daughter.
And it was a voicemail. He left it in a voicemail.
Yeah, it was very uncalled for. But on the same token, I'm like, man, I refuse to judge somebody based on that. Like, I want to, like, is this the one time thing? Was it, you know, what was the situation? When fathers and daughters are a tricky thing, just like scandal.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Well,
they're deeper than that. Fathers and children in general.
If you actually listen to the voicemail, you're listening to somebody who's having practically a mental break on the phone.
I think he's having a mental breakdown. So it's not, I don't know if that's the fair thing.
It's kind of like listening to the Mel Gibson phone call.
No, that's entertaining.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Let's all get right, out of that. On. We don't do that.
So,
in this show.
So Criminal Minds is my second show. And the thing, my thing about Criminal Minds is that it started out being such a great and interesting show. It had people who looked like real people solving crimes, with the exception of one person who is Shamar Moore. And they're out solving crimes, doing the whole thing. And he's like a.
Is this the one with Inigo Montoya?
It was when it started.
He left.
He left. Okay.
3 years in? No, three years.
It was 3 years in.
Was it 3 years in?
It was 3 years in. And then the reason why he left makes sort of sense. But it started out as being a great show, but it's to the point that even if it's a brand new episode, it's just something that I put on to clean my house to. It's something I put on to fall on that, take a nap to. It's the same thing every episode.
You nap a lot, man, apparently.
I should.
He should. I should actually nap a lot more.
Okay.
But I'm just using that as an example of the kind of things that I would do to take to this show. I would improve it by getting rid of half the pretty people they have on the show, because still way too many people, and then digging up the corpse of Mandy Patinkin's character and animating him and having him back on the show, because he was a very interesting character for it. He was a very strong character, very compelling to watch on screen. And the reason why he left, do you know why he left?
I don't know. He's great on Homeland, if that's why he left.
Well, the thing that's crazy is that he left the show because it was too dark for him.
What?
Yeah.
He does Homeland. That's even darker.
That's why I said it's crazy. I'm glad we see eye to eye on this.
I think there's something else
there. No, well, he said the reason why he left the show, which he even, it wasn't even like, I'm leaving the show now because I'm Mandy Patinkin. It was, he didn't show up to work.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's how you roll, man.
He was looking for the six-fingered man.
Right?
I mean, dude, he's got priorities.
Well, he definitely elevated that show, and bringing him back would probably get me watching again.
I would watch him do anything. He's a really interesting actor.
I've never seen him in anything else ever.
Oh, you should watch. Well, see, Homeland isn't a show I recommend watching all of it, because it's one of those shows where I lost interest in, honestly. Yeah. But the first couple seasons are really good. The first three seasons. And after
3 seasons?
Yeah.
He held up 4 fingers and said 3 seasons.
Well, that's how he pours his drink, too. Can I get 2 fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.
Like Star Trek. Like Star Those Trek. Two. Sorry.
Jabbles are number one. Thank you. Thank you for catching that reference, John.
Oh, God. We got a donkey attack.
Oh, my God. I've been wanting to laugh this whole trip.
All right. My first one, it's going to make some people mad, but I don't care. Daredevil. I love the first season. Second season, I love everything that was The Punisher. That's really what I loved. And I will say I've grown bored with how Matt Murdock is. He's got a dour attitude. He's never lightened up about anything. It's always dark. I want the thing that I would do in the show. It's almost like it's DC for television at some point. Like it's DC movies for TV at this point.
It really is.
Yeah. It's just too dark. There's no sense of levity, humor.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Let's get you the thesaurus.
Yes, levity is the right word, not brevity.
Okay. Not brevity, levity. I got it right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now you're making me second guess myself.
I was confirming it. I was just smiling and nodding.
God, no, I feel dumb. I feel dumb even though I got it right. I want things to lighten up. But specifically, I want Daredevil to lighten up. I want Matt Murdock to lighten up. Every episode is just like sad and
mopey.
You
said you wanted the blind guy to lighten up?
Yes, that's exactly what he said. He is not feeling any sort of shame for this, Scott, at all.
It's a fictional character. I'm fine. It's just not Daredevil. Daredevil is very much a heroic type. And yeah, he wants to do better in his city and his town, but he's not like this mopey, sad, I can't fix anything. I'm not going to be Daredevil no more. It's just not the character. It's just getting
old. The character in the comics was a little bit lighter, and he liked to nail chicks a lot.
He was a fun character.
Yeah, he was able to go into a room and flirt. This guy doesn't do that.
No, he has one emotion, really, and that's mopey.
Right.
He's just mopey.
Ish.
And right now, I just don't believe in Matt Murdock, and I need him to believe in himself for me to believe in the show again. So you get a little bit more of a lightheartedness in the event or the
Defenders.
Yep. You know, I got a little bit of that. Where I'm like, this should be the Matt Murdock you're playing with on an episode basis, and it's just not. And I get he's got heavy stuff happening, but Matt Murdock should still be more of a character and less of a caricature.
I kind of felt like in the second season he was lighter when he was dealing with Karen, and when they opened up that relationship with Karen, he started lightening up a lot.
I didn't feel that in the second season. Well, the second season, I did not. Other than the Punisher stuff, I did not really like it.
Well, they did a weird course correction when they added Elektra to it, and it just went right back down the tubes again.
Mm-hmm. No, that's probably true. It was getting a little better. Like, right. Like I said, Defenders I thought was really...
Yeah.
He opened up a lot. Even with Elektra in there, he... Spoiler alert. He even had a little bit of fun there.
Well, you know, in Defenders, you also had Danny Rand sitting there saying, I am the Iron Fist every freaking chance he got.
He said that in Iron Fist every episode, too. It was kind of like a fun game. Like, take a shot. Take a shot. Danny Rand. Guess who he is? Iron Fist. No secret identity there.
Nope.
The other one's Hawaii Five-0. My interest is...
And you I love that show.
I love that show. And people say, you know, it's been every 7 years. They don't do anything. You know what? They're fun. That is my kind of background noise. Since Psych went off the air, Hawaii Five-0 was like my background noise. I love to watch it because I don't need to know what's going on, so I don't have to pay complete attention. But if I pay complete attention, I'm enjoying it. The thing is like I miss Chin O'Kelly.
Okay.
They left Daniel Day Kim left last year, and he was never the star of the show. And I said that on this show when he left. I didn't think he should be paid the same as Steve McGarrett, as Alex O'Loughlin or whatever his name is. Turns out I didn't realize how much life he brings to that show. He's one of those actors who has a very affectionate smile, very warm smile to him. And I didn't realize how much he lightened up a scene just by being there, by bringing that smile and that warmth to it. And now that he's gone, they brought in other cast members to kind of take their space, take their place, and they're fine. But they're not Daniel Day Kim. Now, Grace Park is Kono. I could take or leave her. She really didn't do much for that show at all. But because she's like, she's O'Kelly's cousin, I think she would probably be a factor. So what I would do is find a way to bring those two back somehow, give them whatever they're wanting. Because I think I really think Daniel Day Kim is part of the heart of the show, and it's missing right now. And even though I love Steve McGarrett, I love Dano, I just need Chin O'Kelly. It really affects the show. And it's easily my favorite procedural show. I don't watch procedurals. I really prefer serialized, but this is one I love to just watch procedurally.
I had a question I've never asked about this show. Do they play the theme song with you?
Yep. It's like a modern version.
Is it? Yeah. Does it work?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too hard to believe.
I don't know. I'm hearing the theme song in my head right now. It just sounds so 80s. Or is that even 80s?
70s.
70s?
70s.
It just sounds very cheesy, but you said the modern version works, huh? I should check it out.
It does.
Seven seasons that's been on.
This is the eighth season it's on.
Holy
right now.
Cow.
And without O'Kelly, it's not Oana. Ohana? Ohana? Ohana.
Oana?
Oana?
Moana?
Whichever one. Yes.
You're welcome.
No, Ohana. Family means family in Hawaiian.
Family.
That would be better. They should do that.
They should bring Vin Diesel in and take that role, right?
I would watch that every week. I would not wait for the DVD.
He could pass for Hawaiian, couldn't he?
Of course. He's very mysterious about his ethnicity.
Yeah, he really won't admit to what he is.
Yeah. You're asking me like, hey, what are you from? You know, I'm just Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
I'm just Vin Diesel.
Well, and I grew up in New York, like, and I play a lot of D&D.
Yeah.
And I'm used to
nerd.
Sell.
I'm a nerd just like you. You know what I mean? I'm just like you.
And I used to sell Street Star Sharks. Look at these Street Shark commercials.
You know, I was watching, we talked about it before, but that show Big Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
There's an episode where they're watching like an adult film that has Sylvester Stallone in it. And the impersonation of Sylvester Stallone is like just like yours, Aaron. It sounds like I seriously like for a second did a double take and thought that like maybe Aaron had
like
the spot.
Nick Kroll called me.
Yeah. And then like because dude, seriously, it's you, dude. Like for real.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, John? You're not. You're absolutely right. It was Aaron doing, hey, yo, we're going to have sex over here.
Give me the soap and let's lather this up right now. Yeah, you.
That show is seriously underrated, too. I think it's so funny.
It is.
It's on really Netflix, funny. Right, Big
yeah.
Mouth?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are my two. We all got our two, so our six out. Are there any other shows that have left the air that you'd love to see brought back, maybe with the same cast, like Will and Grace style, or just revamped in some way? John?
So I think one that I thought would be a really cool way to bring it back would be Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Whoa, now you've got my attention.
Yeah. So I'm thinking let's do the Buffy the Vampire Slayer with the entire Scooby gang in a post-apocalyptic vampire kind of world. And
so the vampires have won?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
And they're it's going. Dark. Yeah. And they are going around trying to bring the world back. Oh, back from this ledge or back from this fight. So,
can I add one thing that'd be really cool?
Yeah. What's up?
And again, I don't know the show very much. But
Blade shows up.
What if you do it from the other perspective of the other vampires that are actually like hunting the survivors?
Oh, kind of like I Am Legend, but different. Like
yeah.
The book. Like the book.
Well, I've not read it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
The book, I Am Legend, it turns, you know, you're following the main character of I Am Legend the whole time, but then you realize that because he's in a world full of vampires,
they're
that,
hunting
that
him.
He's the monster.
Right.
Yeah. And he only figures it out.
But that's how you get away with not having the original cast,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's actually true. That's pretty cool.
That would be a really clever idea.
But that's not answering Aaron's question, though.
Oh, sorry. What was your question?
What was my question?
Well, your question was, how do you bring back a show with the same cast?
Oh, yeah.
But his idea is cool. I like it.
You could do it your way with his way. Where at the end of it, at the end of the show, then it would be flipping. You would see that actually she was the villain the whole time.
Yeah.
Because it's a world of vampires now, man. Let them have their damn lives. You're killing – you're a murderer.
Right.
They did nothing to you.
Well, they did.
Well, they did. They killed all the other humans, but now we're all even.
Just minor details.
I mean, at this point, in that world, we are actually vampires doing this at 4:25 in the morning as opposed to in the evening.
Mm-hmm. What? I like it.
It's in the afternoon, John.
That's right. Like the Upside Down, dude.
Oh, got it. I don't think very much. I just
have another sip.
You know what? I'm pretty sure there's some listeners going, did I just understand John and nobody else did? Because I feel really, really weird for that.
Well, I'm sure because you're so infamous. That,
right?
Yeah.
Notorious.
Notorious. I'm the notorious J-O-H-N.
What? You're a dumb. All right. Scott, you have one? Two or three or 12?
I got a couple.
Okay.
I mean, my easy answer is Friends. I know I love that show, but I feel like that's an easy one to do because the cast is
Would you want to see it now with everybody?
I really would. I mean, I know that like the guy that played Joey, Matt LeBlanc, has been trying to do stuff. He did a spinoff of Joey that I heard was terrible.
He's really good on episodes if you ever saw that show.
Is he? Okay. Yeah. And Matthew Perry had, what was that show he did where he was on TV?
Mr. Sunshine?
Yeah. I actually enjoyed that for a little while, but it didn't last. All the cast is around. They're all doing stuff. It would be a cool reunion to see them come back together, have Rachel and Ross's kid like grown up now and have stories with that, kind of like they did with Fuller House. Which
didn't he have another kid too? Or they just forgot
Ben
about?
They just forgot about. Remember I did that for my yeah, like.
Maybe they should do a spinoff with Ben.
Just Ben.
Here's what happened to his life. He was adopted. He was left on a doorstep.
Well, you know what they really should do? They should take that idea that from that fan theory where the show was actually all up in Phoebe's head.
Right.
And they should actually play it out as if it was in Phoebe's head. So we're seeing Phoebe interact with everything and everybody, but more like she's a crazy person as opposed to... Why am I darkening everything up here?
Well,
somebody needs a hug.
I might need a hug.
How would you do that, though? Would you like tell people to watch it and then when you watch this episode, go watch this specific episode of Friends after it in between?
That's kind of brilliant.
You know what I mean?
That's like, interactive.
So it's like a little meta or whatever?
Yeah.
Now I would watch it. That would get me to watch the old ones.
Yeah, it would get me to watch the old ones.
We're coming up with ideas here, man.
Where's our phone call from Hollywood?
But the only
They're
way
too busy dealing with lawyers right now.
Somebody just touched somebody. We can't.
Yep, I'm touching John right now.
Yeah.
What?
The only way you can get that to work is if you got all six, though. If you're missing even one, it's not going
to
work.
Jennifer Aniston's the only one that's really hard to get, right? I mean, she's the one that's still working.
What's David Schwimmer doing these days?
Podcasts?
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
He's doing...
in between his job at the Home Depot?
He's on a podcast called Homecoming, and
he was getting $1 million an episode. I think he's fine.
Yeah.
You know one of those six blew that money on something. If I had to bet, it would be David Schwimmer.
No, it wasn't David Schwimmer.
No, I bet you it was Matthew Perry.
It was Matthew Perry,
probably. He bought cheeseburgers and Coke.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a weekend.
It really is. No, he's...
I am so full and wired!
Well, David Schwimmer also just did the OJ thing, so yeah, he's doing fine. But he's on a podcast called Homecoming.
Fine money. FX is not fine money. But anyway, podcast Homecoming.
My wife loved that show, by the way.
Yeah,
it's a good one. So it's a nifty little sci-fi ish soldier kind of X-File-y show that it did. It's a radio show. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
Kristen Bell's doing something like that too, like a horror podcast.
I think
we're advertising another podcast.
Yeah,
man, stop it.
That's what we're doing. Yeah. That's no, you know what? We are just so secure in our podcastness that this is
costness.
Hello,
governor.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Oh, yeah, I love your English accent. Yeah. So smooth and buttery.
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna take another hit of this.
The other one that I had, which when you first posed this question, I immediately thought of Boy Meets World, but then I remembered that Girl Meets World is a thing and nobody liked it.
But
I heard, again, I didn't watch it because I heard horrible reviews on it, but the complaints I heard on that is that it didn't focus enough on the original characters. They focused too much on the
girl?
New characters. On the girl.
Go figure. It's only called Girl Meets World.
Well, I get that, but I mean, that's...
it's besides the point. Your point is, let's talk about Boy Meets World.
Right.
Right.
Like, everybody loved Sean, and they loved, I don't even remember the other character's name, but they were enjoyable characters. I would want to see something similar done with The Wonder Years, which I just
got done rewatching. Cool.
Ooh. Yeah. I would love to see Danica, what's her name?
Danica Patrick?
Not Danica Patrick. Is her name Danica? No, Danica
Winnie Cooper.
Winnie Cooper.
The actress that played Winnie Cooper.
And Fred Savage, you know, he's probably free too, right? He's not doing anything.
He's got a TV show on Netflix.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Okay. And the kid that played Paul, it would just be he's so much fun to see all of them come back together. I mean, obviously,
I would watch that.
I think the dad is still around, isn't he?
He's still around. I think the kid that played
Paul. Well, no, he died in the show, though, so you can't really have him back.
Right. The kid that played Paul either is a lawyer now.
Guess I won't watch that one.
Or he is. I think the theory is that he's either Marilyn Manson or he's a lawyer.
Marilyn Manson. God, you just blew my mind.
For the longest time, that was one of the internet like things about Marilyn Manson, is that he was Paul from.
That actually kind of makes sense. It's kind of in a weird way, but I mean that's definitely not true. Marilyn Manson has a real name. But,
he grew up in Fort Lauderdale.
But the mom is she's got to still be around, right? The sister, Lori.
I think she went to jail.
No, okay, so maybe it wouldn't happen, but I would just like to see it.
It'd be cool. As long as we bring back the main people, I think we got a good idea.
Winnie Cooper and Fred, I don't even remember the main, holy cow, I can't remember the character's name. What was his name in The Wonder Years? Kevin?
I think it was Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always called him Fred Savage.
That's what I was doing. But Kevin and Winnie, like, just bring them back. Maybe, did they, I need to rewatch the series because I don't even remember if they wound up together at the end. They did, didn't they? Yes? No? Somebody's going to write me a letter and say, you love that show, you don't even remember. I've only watched it once, guys, and it was like recently, so like in the past 3 years.
You've only watched, like, you saw the whole series though, right?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing, but it was like 3 years ago, and I seriously watched it like a month. I was enamored.
It's your kind of show, yeah. It was very
it totally is. And it's a show that I wish I would have watched when I was a kid, because I feel like I was the perfect age for when that show came out, and I think that's a show that if I had a son, like that's a show that I would want. I would watch it with him. Because I think there's good. I mean, when it was in the 80s, it took place in the 60s. It was already a period piece, and so it's still a period piece. It still works,
right?
And the life lessons and the touching moments still carry over. But it could use a fresh coat of paint, and I think I would love to see them come back and do something else with it. So those are my two.
Okay. Did you have another one? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I actually have another one.
I didn't. I felt like I cut you off.
You really did. We got into a great story about what was going on here, and
You know what? And I just didn't think you needed to talk anymore.
Because I keep moving and doing shit?
Yeah, probably. Right. It could be. That's what happens when you're live. Now I understand so many things when you're not live. It's all coming together.
Because I can't.
No, Aaron, I am sitting still. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I haven't moved at all.
I can't. This thing is sticking in my face.
To be fair, he is like in the middle, so he has to turn to look to each of us.
Yeah,
so.
he's the turkey in the middle of the bread.
The spigot?
The weirdest analogy.
I'm on the spit. Is that what it is?
No. I don't know what that means, but that's gross. But go ahead.
So my second one was Alphas. So Alphas was a TV show on Sci-Fi, which is a station.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't watch it. Anything on Sci-Fi anymore. Alphas is one of the reasons why. A great show about real life-ish. Like what happened if normal people started getting something that was in the neighborhood of superpowers. But some of those characters really actually had some real legit superpowers, like the kid who can see radio signals and talk to computers through the air and stuff. So I would like to see that show come back with the same characters, but I would like to see that the next season would become some of those powers starting to get amped up, because we already see evidence of characters in that show having more major superpowers, and I just want to see something grow from that. So it's not DC, it's not Marvel, it's its own thing, and I'd like to see something just grow from that.
Okay. We're all sitting here going, we didn't watch it, so yeah, cool idea.
Right. No, that's cool. I remember that show.
I do remember it. That doesn't mean I watched it.
It's on Syfy. We don't watch Syfy.
Speaking of Syfy, mine is Battlestar Galactica. One of my two is Battlestar Galactica. I really think
they did bring it back.
They did Caprica, and I don't know why they didn't do much more with that.
I liked Caprica.
Caprica, and I would want to go back and bring that whole thing back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would like. I would like Caprica continued, maybe revamped a little bit, because I think they could have done things a little differently. But I love the idea of how did the Cylons come to be? How did we get to this point where they have invaded our society and decided to destroy the world? I think that would be a fun story to watch, and the show would end with them, you know, winning, essentially, before it actually became the new Battlestar
Right.
Yeah.
And them running away from them.
Yeah. That would, I think that sounds fantastic. I would really love to see that. I think Caprica was really close to something, and for whatever reason,
I don't think it picked up the way it should have.
No.
Because people wanted more, like, more Battlestar. But this was more of a drama than it was an action piece.
Yeah, they didn't follow the same tone of the original.
Yeah.
And they really should have stuck to the same tone and kept the storytelling.
I need to rewatch this series. I haven't watched it since it ended.
Oh, man, I love that show. So
I do, too.
So much. The other one, and this actually popped up because of, they're going to bring it back in another form. 24 is coming back again.
What?
They already did Legacy. Now they're going to try and bring it back with a female protagonist. And here's my thing. I would love for 24 to come back, but only if Jack Bauer is involved so they can wrap up his storyline, because the last time we saw him, he was kidnapped. He was basically taken prisoner by the Russians. So he's a prisoner for the Russians, which means eight and a half years of a story, and we don't really get an ending because, you know, whatever, we didn't get that ending. And
that's,
I know,
how
he's
the
on,
show ended? Just like,
that's how the show ended. It was a great season, too. That Live Another Day was a great season. And then it ended with that kind of cliffhanger-ish ending. It sucked. That was really a bad choice. And then you know, Kiefer Sutherland's like, I'm moving on. I'm going to Designated Survivor, where he, every once in a while, Jack Bauer pops up, and you don't know Jack Bauer, but he gets a little mad, and it's like, that Jack Bauer. So I know he can still do it. I know he's still got it in him. I would like to see that. That would be great. I don't need different variations of 24. 24 is Jack Bauer. I think Legacy proved that. So the writing was horrible on that show, by the way. So bring back Jack Bauer, and I'd be happy.
Back to Battlestar. Did you ever check out Blood and Chrome?
Yeah, I like Blood and Chrome.
You like Blood and Chrome?
I would watch that.
That was the YouTube one, right? Or online?
I don't know if it was on YouTube. I think it was on video only or something.
I think it was a video only.
Was
yeah.
It? Yeah, okay. it was a good show. It was decent.
It was about Adama and before he became Admiral Adama.
Yeah, and I would have watched that.
Yeah.
I would have definitely watched it. You could have used that to spitball or get to the point where Battlestar
Galactica. It was him in that cop show from the 80s that started out, right? Wasn't he the police chief in
Miami Vice?
Miami Vice?
Yeah, it was. Somehow it all connects. Crockett shows up in a spacesuit. Just a weird connection.
Why are you wearing a pink tank top thing?
Who wouldn't wear one?
Because it looks cool?
Yeah.
Right.
And with a cigarette? Yeah. With an alligator on your boat? I don't know what that was about, but he had one.
He had an alligator in his boat?
Yeah, because he's Florida. That cool,
yeah,
man.
It's a Florida thing. Alligators are your pets.
Really,
you live
an alligator?
In Florida, is that really a thing?
I mean, I wouldn't have one as a pet.
Oh, if you wore pastel, you would.
And living on a boat.
Those are two things where you need an alligator.
Push up the sleeves of your blazer.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Little Phil Collins while you got the top down.
A flock of seagulls.
Nobody feels cooler than they do when in the air the night playing.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's go to our listener comments. Every week we put the topic in the Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. You can always go there if you want to partake. And we each are going to pick our top three comments from listeners this week. So let's start with Scotty.
All right. My first one comes from Amy Hutchison. She says, I lost interest in American Horror Story. They just crammed too much in a season, and they don't wrap things up. Storyline go in super weird, unrelated directions for no good reason. I got sick of it. They can tell a good scary story like they did the first season, I'd be back. She said, if they can tell a good scary story like they did the first season, I'll be back. I'd also love to see more Veronica Mars. I know we got a movie already and it was awesome, but I still want more. And I chose that one because I haven't seen Veronica Mars. I know, shame on me and all that. But American Horror Story, I felt the same way. That first season just was awesome for me. And after that, I just lost it. I just lost interest. It was a great story and it was twisted in all the right ways. And then after that, I just felt like the show just became a, let's see how weird and twisted we can get. And it just lost sight of its story. Plus, I love that the idea that each season is its own story.
That's
cool.
We need
more shows like that, I feel. Like where
I would agree with that. Yeah.
So that way you can start in season four. And if you like it, then you can go back and watch the others. But anyway. Also, Adam Schreiber said, I would love to see Knight Rider get brought back.
Yeah.
Updated and improved. Definite nods to the original, only a Hasselhoff cameo. They tried that, and I was so excited.
You guys are passing up a great Knight Rider impression I just did. But
no, we're not passing it up, Aaron.
Can you come up with a better word than great? No. I was going to go lackluster.
Ooh. All right, you keep talking. It's fine. I cut you off. Go ahead.
Do you remember when Knight Rider tried to make a run back? Was it on Fox?
Talk to John. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Wasn't it on Fox, John?
It was on Fox. And it was wasn't there Team Knight Rider also?
I don't remember Team Knight Rider.
It was on Fox. And wasn't it on NBC?
Was it NBC?
I don't know where it was.
I just remember the car
coming
up.
You were very assured with your answer when you just agreed.
What?
I just felt like agreeing for the sake of agreeing.
I'm pretty sure it's NBC. I think they own it. But I could be wrong, but I'm not.
It was the same as Terminator. And wasn't Terminator Fox?
Terminator was Fox.
I feel like I saw those commercials back. They came out about the same time.
Maybe
I could be wrong, but...
You continue talking while I go.
You look it up. But remember when that came out? I was so excited about another Knight Rider, and they had like was it a Camaro or something?
No, it wasn't a Camaro. It was actually a Mustang.
A Mustang, yeah, which didn't
work.
It
was a completely different car because it wasn't a Firebird or a Camaro.
Well, the whole point was it was supposed to be a kit car. It was not a real car. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't one, I don't know. And then like he pulls up and instead of saying, hello, Michael, it was, hi, Mike. Like... It was all trying to be modernized. I want to go back to like old school Knight Rider.
Somebody else was the voice of it too. Who was the voice?
I don't remember.
It was somebody silly. But even before that, they had Team Knight Rider.
NBC.
It was NBC?
Was it NBC?
What? Score one for me. But they're getting another reboot on CBS.
Oh, okay.
So people just keep on buying it.
So basically every channel but Fox is getting it.
Well, I mean, how do you screw up that concept?
You can't screw up the concept. You can just show up at the wrong point in time.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was too early.
Yeah, well, too late because it's the idea is something that works in the 80s and maybe the early 90s, but it doesn't work now.
What was the little red light for in the front on the hood?
It was for sensor.
No, still not working?
Still not working.
No.
Put it away.
It's like you're purring like a cat.
That's what it sounded like to me when I watched it.
What are you, Dustin? I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
It was a kit car, not a cat car.
Yeah,
I went there. All right, Peter Dennis said, I lost interest in Love, which is ironic.
That's how you kill a room.
But I just found the second season when they were together, it lost its magic, and I didn't even finish the season, although I will one day. What is Love? I don't know that.
Love is a show on Netflix, I think. And
don't hurt
what
me.
What is it good
don't
for?
Hurt me. Don't no.
Damn it.
He goes on to say, I would love for another season of Dexter just to give us a great season to finish up on so they can shut up all the people that continually whine about how bad the series finale was. And I put that one because I have not watched that show and I need to, but like he said, the people talk about how crappy the ending is, that makes me not want to watch it. That's why I've not watched Sopranos as well, because of the ending of that one. So.
Yeah, that's a good call, honestly. I really think they whiffed that horribly.
Sopranos?
Sopranos.
Yeah.
Johnny?
Tori Melching, I would love to have more Frasier and Wings, old school classics that I absolutely love.
That's a good one.
Those are two but very good ones, and I loved Wings. I absolutely love that one. As far as dramas, Homicide, Life on the Streets is still my all-time favorite. I would like to see Homicide, Life on the Street with still being as dirty and gritty as it was when it originally came out, because I believe that was still Dick Wolf back then. And if we know what happened with Dick Wolf, everything has been very genderfied, and then it's been very cleaned up, and everybody can consume it. But Homicide: Life on the Streets was not that
good one.
Yeah,
Andre Brower. Yeah, he's great. He's on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
He is.
Yeah, he's
and
a good actor.
Also, it was where we first had Richard Belzer's character started out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then he bounced around. Shows.
Mm-hmm. Also enjoying the Will and Grace revival. The new theme song has to go. It does have to go. It's terrible. I have lost interest in a ton of shows, so I don't know where to begin. On a side note, in about 2 years, they should start up with House of Cards again. Whether they... That's a...
No. Nope. And then like that, he was gone.
Yeah, the Shigo goes on to say that Kevin Spacey cannot be involved, but they can let things calm down and start all over again. I think that they need to let that go. If you want more House of Cards, you should just watch the English version of it, the original.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's not. They're not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole ever again.
Crumley says, would love to see The Equalizer make a return. Yes, we would. Although the movie was great, I think a great TV show could also do nicely, especially during the times we're in right now. The world and backstory fascinated me. I could definitely see that working out into a Netflix or cable series. And I wouldn't mind the A-Team making a comeback. Definite serious potential in that. Yes, it does have.
I still want a sequel to that movie, man. That movie was great.
It was a lot of fun.
God, breaks my heart.
And add me to the pile of people who totally lost interest with The Walking Dead. At this point, the show has become the very thing it kills. A slow, shuffling, rotting zombie. It needs its head shot so it can be put out of its misery.
Some bitch.
Can't agree with you more. And then Mac Herring. I would love to see a Fringe 10-episode series a la X-File come back. I would lose my mind if they got all the original cast. I would definitely lose my mind over that. That was one of my favorite shows of all time.
I still haven't finished it. I'm on season 4. I even bought them so I could finish it because I took them off Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like a winter thing where I'm going to spend like a couple days this winter.
You should. It's a great.
I want to finish it.
Yeah, definitely a good time.
My 3, Brady Joe. Can I say? Yeah, of course you saw that. This is coming. Can I say Psych? Even though they are having a reunion movie this Christmas, I love everything about the show. The friendships, the father-son relationship, the humor, the wit, the mystery. Everything about the show is perfection. Pure entertainment. I would love to see Dulé doing some more tapping on the show because he's extremely talented. Haters can suck it. The show is the best. Now, why would I pick this one when I know that the reunion movie is already happening? You ask?
Because I know why. Because
I want a show.
Yeah.
I want the whole show to come back. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's one of the few shows I still watch and still get entertained with every episode. Hallelujah. Scott's up there going, yeah, I watched the season.
Yeah, first season was good.
I want reactions cast for Psych the movie. That's what I want. John, you in?
I'm in.
All right, we're going to do that.
Do you want me to watch it and just be like, I don't get it. Why is there a pineapple?
I got a feeling that would be the whole episode, yeah. All right, Troy Heinrichs. I know Troy. I do a podcast with him. And why did I pick him? Because it feels like it's not fair to the other listeners. I'll tell you why. He says, Walking Dead. Oh my God, 50 minutes of gun shooting with no reloading. Seriously, long, staring glances into nothing for that dramatic feel. Please, spelled that way.
Even at the flowers?
That's the only exception. He means like how it is now, like the last 2 seasons. I know. Yeah. You know what? How about instead of killing humans, you go back to killing zombies, traveling on the road to find a cure, a purpose, like season 1 and 2.
Hey.
Go back to the relationship building, the relationship development. Everyone now seems so one note, it is tiring. It was great when they all had to find a way to get to the CDC. It felt like a show that went somewhere. Do more of that. For a show to come back, that is easy. No, it's not Lost, Alias, or Fringe, Aaron. Although, because he always wants those. He mentions those shows to me like every day. Although I would love more Fringe. But it is Veronica Mars, which Amanda Sink also said. And actually, Amy Hutchinson, I think, also said. Kristen Bell, actually, and the FBI are running her own PIA outfit. Where she scoops the FBI each week would be awesome. Plus, who doesn't love marshmallows? Hashtag Neptune rules. That's why. That and the Walking Dead points. I would kill for a Veronica Mars TV show. And I know Good Place is doing well. Super. Cancel it. Give me Veronica Mars.
Everybody loves Good Place.
Good Place is great.
Yeah. You know what I like better than Good Place? Veronica Mars.
Never saw it. Never even heard of it until this podcast.
What?
Yeah.
I heard of it. I never saw it.
You haven't seen it?
Nah.
You haven't? I know you haven't seen it. Why wouldn't you? This seems like right up your alley.
It might have been right up my alley, but somehow, you know what? I was going through.
Stop talking. I'm done with you. Ruben McDade says, I've lost interest in The Flash, which is incredibly upsetting because he's easily my second favorite superhero, and I'd love to be excited about it again. I want to see how long he'll hold this thought. I honestly would like them to do Flashpoint properly and use that to introduce Batman into the fold and even a couple of League members. I'd also like a better villain instead of a speedster. Or half-assed excuse for a villain. I already had this point, but I wanted to reemphasize I ain't the only one.
Right.
You want to continue your thought now?
No, I was going to say that now, if it's a second favorite hero, if you're not first, you're last.
Oh, yay. There you go.
Maybe.
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake, baby.
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake.
All right. They just pounded it. That's cool. Nobody, can I get a pound? I felt forced. All right.
It was forced.
Before we get to our feature game this week, we wanted to take a second and extend thank you to our Patreon supporters who donated graciously at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And supporting The Hollywood Outsider does help pay for the expenses of your favorite podcast.
A myriad of expenses.
And not only does it keep our show going, it legitimately keeps our show going, but you also get material for your efforts. Why are you laughing?
Not only does it keep our show going, but it keeps our show going.
I like to emphasize it.
I think you put the wrong and fastest in the wrong slabble.
Anyway, you get something out of it. If you want to donate, you will get something out of it. You can get 2 bonus episodes for $5 a month. You get 2 bonus episodes. You get a special all-encompassing episode and also Bad Movie Night, where we kind of talk about a really bad movie in our own way. So the last one was Deathgasm. I'm still being... Nate Bruce lambasted me for hating on it too much. I don't care. It's a bad movie.
High five, Nate Bruce. Devil horns all the way up for
nobody,
you, bro.
Nobody agrees. And we're doing The Room this month, so we're looking forward to that.
I did not.
Now we're at wait. Our...
Hi, Mark.
All right. Well, it's time for our weekly Ho feature. But before we get there, we want to tell you who guessed it correctly as last week's listener game, which was contributed by listener Steve Barris. Is it Barris? The movies that were in his, he had a little monologue or what do you call it, a synopsis that involved several movies. And the movies that were in there were Braveheart, Men in Black, Independence Day, Gladiator, and Cocktail. I would see that movie. I don't know about you guys. This week.
And wait, hang on. Those that got them all were Manuel Perez, Kyle Nolan, Nate Bruce, and last in the gate was Ruben McDade. Yeah, and Tori Melching got almost all of them. So those are the people that got most of those correct.
Nice. This week we're looking at a significant anniversary as the movie Aladdin had its 25th anniversary this month. So let's discuss this classic. First off, what are your guys' memories of Aladdin and where does it sit with you in terms of animated classics?
I think I remember my experience in the theater for Aladdin more than most of my theater experiences. I remember when this came out, a group of my friends and I from high school went to go see it. And somehow we ended up in the theater and it was, you know, two guys, two girls and me, and we were just having a good time. We noticed that there was nobody else in the theater. So we were able to just laugh.
Just five people? Just five people?
Yeah, just five of us. And we were able to laugh, have a good time. We even heckled the movie a couple times. It's not really like the movie's bad. It's just like the joke seemed to have a good punctuation mm-hmm. point for a heckle. And I really loved that experience. Those friends that I had were good friends for quite a long time. And I can still remember that day. It was a nice cold November day in Fort Lauderdale, which we rarely got any of those. So it was really sweet. I really liked it. That's what sticks out the most for me.
What about you, Aaron?
Man, I remember going to see this one, and it was a long time ago. 25 years is a long time. Like, I didn't realize it was that long. But I went and saw it in the theater because it's computer animation, and not so much. I mean, not by today's standards, right. But back then it was pretty phenomenal. And more importantly, it was just to see Robin Williams. Like, I wasn't going for the cartoon at all. I was going for Robin Williams. And he blew me away with how funny and witty and clever he was, and how they made basically the entire cartoon is only good because he's so good in it.
Is it witty if it's an animated? You can consider that witty? He's not like coming up with that on the spot. You
know, but some of it is actually ad-libbing.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. He's ad-libbing. I mean, it's totally Robin Williams. I mean, I would love to have, I would never give a wish. I would just hang out with that genie all day because he's hysterical. I loved him. And he was very heartwarming and seemed like he cared for the kid by the end. And yeah, that's what I remember about it.
Hey, this is one of my all-time favorites. Again, I obviously didn't see it in the theater, but when I finally got around to watching it, it's great. The music is among the best of all of them. I mean, you've got the love song and how I can show you the world. You've got him never had a friend. I mean,
I can show you the world.
Yes. You know, I was this close to breaking out the song, and I thought he would have smacked me in the back of the head for doing that.
Yeah, he would have. That's kind of the point of this. If you had done it, it would have been a problem.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But like you
said, wait a minute. Why are you sounding like an abused child right now?
God. I'm just going to drink my alcohol and hit you.
But like you said, this is one of Robin Williams' most memorable performances mm-hmm. for me. I mean, I know you said you went into it to see him, but this is...
Well, hear him anyway, yeah.
Well, hear him, yes. Even though that guy, even though the genie did kind of look like him a little bit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
he did. Plus, it's got the hottest Disney princess by far. Jasmine.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Obviously, yeah. Look at my wife. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's my favorite when I go to the parks. She's there.
The midriff, man.
What the hell is wrong with you, man? You just got creepy. We're in a room together. Stop it.
What are you talking about?
He's not getting a picture with Belle. That looks weird. You get a picture with Jasmine, it makes sense.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'm better now.
How am I the wrong person here?
I don't know. It just felt...
Because you said it.
Yeah.
It's just,
if I would have said it, it would have been okay.
That's right.
That's how this works.
Oh, that's right. We just had an auditory version of me getting smack in the back of the head.
That's why I sit on this side of the table, man. Right. He can't reach me from here.
I can.
I got put here.
I know.
Well, he's got to put me here. Now you know why. He's got to put me here. He's got to keep me within arm's reach. No, stupid. Stop touching the buttons.
Face the microphone.
All right, so second.
Why are you twitching? I didn't give you any sugar, goddammit.
So let me ask you guys, since there's so many pop culture references in this film, do you guys think it still holds up, or it will still hold up like a quarter century later, or now, or even in the future?
No. I'm the only person probably in the world that's going to say that, but I don't think it's as funny now as it was. It's still charming and extremely nostalgic, and when I watch it, I enjoy it the exact amount that I enjoyed it then.
Right.
I don't think people that watch it now will get that same...
Watch it now for the first time.
The first time. I don't think it'll resonate with them.
I agree with you, actually. Yeah. I think that it does for adults that grew up and catch those references. Mm-hmm. It's not funny to somebody that doesn't know the references.
Exactly. And that's the thing. This is like the one Disney movie that I would say really struggles against time. because the other ones are timeless, where I feel this one was so pointed in that time and with so many jokes, like pop culture jokes, that really hits it in the long run to a degree.
Well, this is really weird because I feel sorry for the both of you because you guys are agreeing. And I agree too. I mean, it really is just like.
Well, it makes for boring radio.
Right, it really does.
If you could just disagree and stomp your feet, it would be fantastic. No!
No, damn it.
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
I think the loss of Robin Williams will really affect this movie because Robin Williams isn't here. So we're not going to have generations or younger generations being exposed to him nearly as much as we were or the generation before us or. It's just not going to happen. So it does lose that aspect because the movie really is Robin Williams' movie. And also, we say that the rest of the movies are timeless, but if you look at Bambi, Bambi doesn't carry over as long as the rest of them, as some of these other ones. Snow White isn't as prominent as sure they know the idea and the imagery, but nobody knows Snow White. And I think the same thing happens with Sleeping Beauty. All of these are beyond 25 years old. They're at least 50 years old. I think the same kind of thing happens. It's just, yes, they have more of a timeless sense because that's just one solid story they're telling without any sort of pop culture references. And it is a feat of technical beauty for art, but their pacing and the singing don't have the kind of thing that keeps our attention now.
For movies like with Aladdin, you don't think those? I think the music in those still hold up.
Well, the music holds up, but the biggest selling point is still Robin Williams.
I agree. And he did come, but also he came back for the other ones, the straight to video ones, and those didn't do nearly as well.
I watched all of them though. I did.
Well, I watched them all too, but they none of them were as good as that first one.
No,
it felt like cash-ins at that point. And I don't even think it was him in the second one, was it?
It wasn't him in the second one, but it was him in the third one.
He came back for the third one.
Yeah. Right. I don't know, but were we talking about this like last week or the week before about? One of our fan theories or whatever about Aladdin.
Oh, well, yeah. When we're doing the fan theory one, Aladdin's actually taking place
way in the future.
10,000 years in the future after a post-apocalyptic world. And Agrabah is actually just an amalgamation of three different countries all put together.
And something about somebody being a time traveler, like the genie being a time traveler?
The genie had technically traveled through time because he was trapped in the bottle for so long. So for him to be able to make so many references to the 80s and 90s, but then he says that Aladdin's dressed like somebody from the third century and all this different timing things.
I still really like that theory a lot.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's a fun theory.
Is this one going to hold up in another 25 years from now, Aaron?
I mean, I think it'll hold. Like for people that have already seen it and enjoy it, yes.
Right.
Will it hold up for new people? I still stand by. I don't think it will for I don't think it will like other Disney films will. Like I disagree with John on that respect. I do think that families love to show their kids the old classics
that they grew up
with. And I think it still holds because my kids enjoyed the Disney movies, and I think they'll at some point if they have kids they'll show them the old Disney movies as well as the ones they grew up with. But Aladdin is one that I think they'll show them and the kids won't get. So I don't think it'll hit as close as the other one.
Well, I also think that number of people gets smaller and smaller each year because the people that grew up watching it and are showing it with their kids, there's not as many of them doing it anymore. Plus, kids have so many other options nowadays that we did as kids. I mean, outside of Disney movies, what else was there? There was a lot of...
You can go outside. You had Warner Brothers stuff too. There was a lot of options. Sometimes I felt like TV was better than Disney to me.
My kids have Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah. But I mean, look at how much options there are now. Yeah. Not even like kids stuff. I mean, how many kids watch YouTube as television nowadays?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that are new that kids would rather watch than watch something from 25 or 50 years ago because you could tell them it's brand new. They're going to look at it and they're going to go, this looks old.
Well, I'm gonna have to disagree with you on some part of that because the thing, some kids do appreciate the newer stuff because it's bright, it's flashy, it catches their attention. But I've watched kids melt into the classic animation styles. The
don't have anything to compare it to.
Well, no, I mean I watched them recently.
No, I know what I'm saying. Like, if it's like the first thing they've seen, if they haven't seen Pixar or they haven't seen.
No, I'm talking about kids who are inundated with cartoons.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about my nieces and nephews when we spend time with the big family, and if we want the kids to calm down, and we would either put old school like Looney Tunes on TV or old school Disney, like, and I mean black and white old school Disney, and they just shut down. And it's amazing for me to watch, because I think there's something about the newer animation styles that, sure, it looks kind of flashy and neat, but it's not the same kind of magic as watching actual hand-drawn cartoons.
Right. But do you think that's... So you're saying that does carry over. It's not just a nostalgia thing.
Because I don't think it's a nostalgia thing. There's something in the style. There's something in the way it's produced.
Well, you're an art guy, so you'd know better than I would.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not yeah, but yeah.
No, you meant yeah. I saw it in your eyes, man. I was like, well, duh.
I was looking at him. You're on the other side of the table.
I smelled it. I smelled it in your eyes.
That was something else.
That got awkward. All right. Let's move on to our spoiler-free reviews. We've got a couple. One, you know what? We already did a whole podcast on Thor Ragnarok, but these guys are going to touch on it real quick for people that don't listen to the spoiler cast, because obviously they haven't seen it yet. So real quick, Thor Ragnarok, what did you guys think?
Well, Thor Ragnarok started out the gate very strong for me, but the humor wound up feeling a bit more forced than natural. It still was a lot of fun, though, with some stellar performances all around, but I just wasn't blown away like I was hoping to be. Still, it's easily my favorite of the three Thor films, but doesn't rank very high on my top favorite Marvel films. So if $10 for the full price of admission, I would pay $6 to see this film.
He like, yeah, five. All right, maybe I said six in the other one, so I guess six. Yeah.
I changed my mind after I took my notes. Gotcha. So.
For me, the movie sold me right away.
It didn't buy you?
It didn't buy me. It only sold me. It bought me for the spoiler cast.
But you're bought and sold for this.
But yeah, I might have been.
You're like a prisoner with job.
I might have been a prisoner with a job. All right, so I was bought right away into this movie. I was sold into it. I any sort of adjective you want, I was
it's actually there. A verb, but.
Whatever.
You just got schooled by a teacher.
Oh, look at that. Wow, that's hard to believe.
Words. What are they?
I don't even know how to use these things. What do I do with my hands now?
Maybe you should start with a little engine book before you move to your thesaurus.
I think I can.
No, I don't think I can. I got bought into the movie right away. I enjoyed every single minute of it. It was the sort of thing I was able to just forget about the fact that I was in a different town. I'm in a different city. I was able to enjoy the people that I was with and the experience of watching this on the screen. It's one of the few times a movie's been able to make me forget about the little brat behind me that's saying, "Mommy, what's going on?"
Because he was next to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's my daughter. I'm sorry. My bad.
No, there was a kid right behind us that was talking about the hammer and the junkyard, and you didn't hear that?
No, I was too busy watching the movie. And hearing the lady next to me squealing over Chris Hemsworth taking a shirt off.
Right.
That was very uncomfortable.
So the movie was able to get me to forget about everything that's going on around me. And if a movie does that, it's doing something right. $10 full price permission and got $7 for me.
$7.50.
Got $7.50?
Yeah, you guys did listen to yourself like it was an hour and a half ago.
Have you not figured out yet after over a year of doing this podcast that I don't listen to the words that come out
obviously
of my mouth?
Obviously not. I'm just letting you know what your score is.
I think you're probably just more thrilled with the fact that I'm not stuttering. I just did.
You just stuttered a bunch. Just did. So, yeah.
You stuttered the word stutter. That's
we'll figure.
Now the world will explode. Good job. I saw Bad Moms Christmas, and I'm going to go on the record and say I enjoyed it more than Thor. Yeah, it happened. I enjoyed it much more than Thor Ragnarok.
Which you didn't give a score to, by the way.
Amy, Kiki, and what's that?
Which you didn't tell us your score, by the way.
Oh, $6. Same as Scott. Right on the same page as Scott. Not the 7, 7.50-ish, 8, whatever John's at today.
I'm probably at 15. Who knows?
Yeah, probably.
I'm putting both my scores together. It's 14.75.
Anyway, the ladies are back from Bad Moms. Amy, Kiki, and Carla. I love that first movie. I had a blast with it.
So did I.
And now they're having a Christmas. It's basically, that's all it is. It's moms dealing with Christmas while their moms come and visit them. And I'm going to be real quick with this because it's one of those movies where you're either going to see it or you're not. I don't think I can talk anyone into it. It's crude. It's rude. It's women having
bad attitudes.
It's the same movie with a Christmas theme. And I got misty in some parts. I laughed my ass off in other parts. It was a blast to see it at the theater with a bunch of other people that were having the same kind of fun that I was having. It's one of those movies where you just need these kind of movies in your life. And it was almost as good as the first one to me. So I really enjoyed it. If $10 is full price admission, I would give it $7. I would definitely see it again. I will buy it. I really, really enjoyed it.
Is it one that you will put in your regular Christmas rotation?
Absolutely. And I honestly I was going into it kind of dreading it. I mean, as much as I kind of want to see it because I liked the first one, very rarely do comedy sequels actually work
Hangover 2.
Yeah, for me or anybody. Yeah, well, that's the same. It's The Hangover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just put a 2 next to it. Very rarely. Bad Santa 2 was awful. I mean, so many sequels are just, comedy sequels are awful. It's the rare exception to the rule. I had a great time. I laughed a lot.
So in your Christmas rotation.
But it is cruder, and there are a lot of jokes that fall flat. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of bad jokes, but a lot of them also worked quite a bit. Justin Hartley's is hysterical from This Is Us. He's great.
And he played Arrow in the original.
He played Arrow, and he also gets his balls waxed in this one.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's important to know. It's a fun fact.
Everyone should get to do it.
It's a very serious movie.
So in your Christmas rotation, where before or after Die Hard did this land?
Ooh, it's too soon to tell, Die Hard's
still got over October. Can we not start with the argument?
My buddy Brian just got, Brian Williams, you know Brian, our buddy
no,
Brian.
No, who? He just your got, buddy Brian.
He just got a Die Hard Christmas book, which proves Die Hard is a Christmas movie, my friend. It's a book. Now it's based on a Christmas book.
Made by someone that wants it to be a Christmas movie and said, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to buy the rights to this movie.
It was made by Santa.
You know, as somebody who wants to make a lot of things happen, that I don't think this is being something where somebody wants to make it happen.
Like some guy just sitting in his basement going, I got to make this happen. And his name's Brian Williams, so he made his own
so
book.
So he made his book.
Anyway, go see Bad Mom. Actually, see Thor Ragnarok, too. I mean, if you like the Thor movies, you're going to probably like this one. Completely different tone than the other ones, though.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. All right, now we're going to go through new releases. John, what's coming out?
So coming up first, we have Daddy's Home 2.
This is November 10th.
This is November 10th. Is that still coming up?
Yeah.
You sure?
It's November.
It's the 4th.
Yeah, we're recording on the 4th. November 10th will be next Friday.
Oh, so it's coming up.
Carry the one.
Yes. Well, I was just letting people know like the date is. I don't know when they're going to hear this.
Oh, right. All right, so November the 10th.
God, this is why we don't talk.
This is why we don't talk in person. Daddy's Home 2. Brad and Dusty must deal with their intrusive fathers during the holidays. Starring, and this is actually the proper order this should be, Linda Cardellini, Mark Wahlberg, Mel Gibson, Will Ferrell, John Cena, and John Lithgow.
All right.
It's a follow-up to Daddy's Home.
No!
For those who don't know what the two means.
Another comedy sequel. There are more movies, right?
There are more movies, but I screwed up everything because I was doing everything. So up next is Murder on the Orient Express. A lavish train ride unfolds into a stylish and suspenseful mystery. From the novel of Agatha Christie, Murder on the Orient Express tells of 13 stranded strangers and one man's race to solve the puzzle before the murderer strikes again. This has the likes of Kenneth Branagh. Daisy Ridley's in it.
Johnny Depp.
Josh Gad.
I mean, it's got a whole lot
Judy
of stars.
Dench? Judy Dench.
Mm-hmm. Judy she's in there somewhere.
Everybody's in it.
And then Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri.
Mm. Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
I've heard it both ways.
That's a preposition, by the way.
This is the most teachy episode I've ever been in.
Right? In this darkly comic drama, a mother personally challenges local authorities to solve her daughter's murder when they fail to catch the culprit. Starring Frances McDormand, Sam Rockwell, Woody Harrelson, and Abby Cornish. So, guys, we have three. That's three, right?
Mm-hmm. That's three.
Cool. I already know what the answer is for Aaron. So, Scott, what is going to be the one you're going to check out?
Man, I actually want to see all three of these.
Yeah?
I really do. The when you posted the trailer for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri a while ago, and it just intrigued me. I don't know if it's theater worthy, though. Like, it's like one I want to see maybe at home at some point. Daddy's Home 2 looks so funny. It's a sequel I never knew I wanted because the first one was so surprising. I really do want to see that, and I probably will wind up seeing that one, but if I had to be honest, the one that I want to see most is Murder on the Orient Express, just because I feel like we haven't had a good murder mystery in a long time. Like, it's Agatha Christie. Christie.
Okay, Mike Tyson. Speaking of Hangover 2, you know what I want to see most? I want to see Murder on the Orient Express.
Agatha Christie.
Don't make fun of my lisp.
Oh, man. Well, we're never having Mike Tyson on the show.
No, we're never.
That was ever going to be a problem.
All right, moving right along. So, Aaron, go ahead and tell us how much you want to see Murder on the Orient Express.
I wouldn't invite him. So much that it's the most anticipated. It's my most anticipated of the year right now, so... Yeah, I want to see it.
Of the last 2 months?
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
So here's an honest question. So
Way
is it
over Star Wars or anything.
Is it your most anticipated of the year because all the other big stuff is just there? We're so used to the big stuff that
that's
something
Star Wars.
Something so cool and different to come out?
No, I love the book.
Right.
I absolutely love the book.
So you already know who the murderer is.
Logan's already been out.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really the biggest one for me. Wonder Woman's out. Like, a lot of the big ones are out. But this has always been at the top of my list. Okay. And I think if you go back and listen to our 2017 extravaganza, it's right in the top three.
So
I love Agatha Christie. I love murder mysteries.
So you've already read the book. You know how it ends? Or are they going
to... I do know how it ends, yeah. And it's a really cool... If they follow the book, it's really clever.
I'm going to listen to the book when I'm done watching the movie.
Don't... Yeah, watch the movie first. Yeah, watch the movie first. And talking to the microphone directly, too. That helps.
See, I did it without referencing talking to the mic.
I prefer to humiliate him to everyone.
Right.
Not just
because that's the way things work. I mean, you know how this is, Scott.
Yes,
he gets it.
All right.
So that's why it's
my question. What about you, John?
But I want to see all three of them. I just want to say I do want to see all
you
three.
You want to see the reason why I ask that question is because I've gotten to the point when it comes to a comic book or Star Wars or something like that, I just put that in the category of, yeah, I'm going to freaking see it. It doesn't matter if I'm excited about it or not.
No, it's everything about the movie. Kenneth Branagh is a great director. Dead Again is one of my favorite murder mysteries that most people have never seen.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, and he directed that.
Yeah.
And I just know he can do a murder mystery. And plus, when you see the trailer with that freaking stash, that stash that should get an origin story, I love it.
It's almost distracting to me, man.
But it's part of the book. And that's I never expected it to happen because I'm like, wow, they really did it. Because he takes such pride in the book. It's a stupid thing, but it's a character thing.
Hmm.
And it is distracting. I agree. But it works in the context of the story. And once I saw that, I'm like, wow, he's really going, like, he's going to commit to the book. I really got to see this play out. Plus, Daisy Ridley, man, has she done anything outside of Star Wars at this point?
I think she did something. I don't
remember. She should have been in Tomb Raider. Let's be honest. She should have been.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. She was probably would have been a better choice. So to answer
she have a canter? She looks pretty good.
I'm saying
she's
acting wise.
She's a stick figure.
Acting wise.
Yeah.
And she can probably whoop your ass.
Both of them could, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, all right.
You know what? That mustache could probably whip your ass, guy.
He'd probably let it happen, too. Yep. He'd be a little girl in the corner. Please don't hurt me. Keep hurting me. Please don't hurt me. All right. So my choice, I mean, I really should try to give Daddy's Home the first one a shot because I've been hearing good things about it. But
it's surprisingly funny. I thought it was going to be awful. It was great.
Yeah, I should try to give that one a shot. So I can't really say Daddy's Home 2 would be a choice. It's really a big tug of war between Three Billboards or Murder on the Orient Express. But Three Billboards does seem like something I want to see really, really bad. But I'm not sure it's something I want to see in the theater just because I want to be one of those jerks.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So that leaves Murder on the Orient Express. I want to see something that is – it looks beautiful. As far as the visuals, I like murder mysteries too. I like things that have style and flair to it. I like things that reference to a time period we don't currently live in because it helps something that is so brand new become timeless. And I think that can definitely happen with this.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to video on demand releases. We got three for this week. The first is The Ballad of Lefty Brown, which comes out on November 9th. Brian actually reviewed this movie. He saw it at South by Southwest,
he
correct?
He did. He loved it.
He gave it $8. So it's a coming-of-age Western for a 65-year-old man. Stars Bill Pullman, Jim Caviezel, Kathy Bates, and Tommy Flanagan. And we just don't get Westerns quite like we used to. So
he swears by it. It's actually pretty cool. Like, it follows the sidekick as opposed to the hero. And
that's interesting.
Sidekick has to become the hero.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I know which one this one. That one looks really good. Mm-hmm.
Next up is Mayhem, which comes out on November 10th. A virus spreads throughout an office complex, causing white-collar workers to act out their worst impulses. This one stars Stephen, is it Yoon?
Yeah.
Yoon from Walking Dead, correct? Mm-hmm. That's where he's at?
Formerly Walking Dead.
Well, I wasn't going to spoil it, but okay.
It's like a season and a half ago. It's not really a spoiler. He's not there anymore, guys. You figure out what happened to him.
And the last one, Radius, also on November 10th. Liam wakes up from a car crash with no memory of who he is. As he makes his way into town to look for help, he finds only dead bodies, all with strange, pale eyes. Liam's first assessment is that a virus is present in the air, but he soon discovers the horrible truth. Anyone who comes within a 50-foot radius of him dies instantly.
Mm, that sounds interesting.
How do you communicate with someone if you can't get within 50 feet of them?
Hey!
Telephone, text.
That one
don't get over here, you're going to die. Stupid. Or you run up to your ex-girlfriend. What's up, baby?
If you're Aaron. That one looks really cool. Actually, it's like the worst superpower. Yeah.
Worst superpower.
Very cool. All right. So now we move on to movie innuendo. We haven't done that. Well, we haven't done it in a while. The girls did it on the Tearjerker episode. We're going to do it with Harry Potter movies because it's November.
Right.
The month of Harry Potter.
That's right.
So in honor of Harry Potter month, all three hosts pick three innocent lines from any film in the Harry Potter series and then deliver them as sexual innuendo, movie innuendo, if you will. Listeners, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com with who you think wins this round. We each get to pick three lines, and we'll go John, Aaron, Scott, one, two, three. So, John, you start. What's your first sexual innuendo line?
All right. My first line is...
Give it to me hard.
I say there are spots that don't come off. Spots that'll never come off. You know what I mean?
I don't remember that at all. Where was it?
It's a Mad Eye Moody line.
I like it. All right, I'm up. There's no one like Crum. He's like a bird the way he rides the wind. He's more than an athlete. He's an artist.
You know, this is creepier in person than it is over the radio.
It is kind of creepier in person.
You say creepy, I say erotic.
My line comes from Professor Dumbledore, and he said...
Of course.
It's hard to find a creepy Dumbledore line. I looked through them. This is the only one I could find.
Oh, I hope it's not the one I have. Let's go.
What happened down in the dungeon?
Damn it! Start over.
What happened down in the dungeon between you and Professor Quirrell is a complete secret. So naturally, the whole world knows.
Son of a bitch. Now I got to find something before you get to me on the third one. That was well done, Scott. Well done. All right, Johnny?
I'm really disappointed that I made eye contact with Scott while he was saying that.
Oh, wait till the next one.
All right, right, all right. Curiosity is not a sin, but we should exercise caution with our curiosity. Yes, indeed.
This is creepier in person.
It is far less funny when you're looking at each other.
Yeah, that's why I'm like making sure I keep eye contact with my tablet.
All right.
This is no eye contact during a Devil's Three-Way, right, Scott?
Absolutely.
In light of the recent events, the bonds of friendship made this year will be more important than ever. Remember that, and Cedric Diggory will not have died in vain. You remember that, and we'll celebrate a boy who was kind and honest and brave and true right to the very end. I feel like that was more inappropriate than I meant it to be.
All right. My second one comes from Sirius Black, and he says...
I'm not making eye contact with him when he says this.
We've all got both light and dark inside us. What matters is the part we choose to act on. That's who we really are. You looked at me. You weren't supposed to look at me.
He's trying to wash the Scott off right now.
I feel like he touched me.
All right, Johnny.
I literally made Aaron cover his mouth with his hands.
I'm like, ugh.
Okay. I have to center myself and get ready to do this.
What's my motivation?
What is my motivation? There was no point in worrying yet. What would come would come. And he would have to meet it when it did.
I'm a little turned on.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
All right. I found another Dumbledore line, jackass.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Harry, do you know why Professor Quirrell couldn't bear to have you touch him?
That was perfect.
Scotty, you're up.
This one comes from Hermione.
Oh, no.
Hermione says, no, Harry, you listen. We're coming with you. Mm. That was decided months ago. Years, really.
Why is she Barry White?
I don't know. Because I can't do the feminine voice
Harry,
very well.
This is decided months ago. All right.
I should have just not said it was Hermione.
Well, you guys decide which one creeped you out more, and let us know who won that game, and we're all going to just slink away in shame.
Can I give an honorable mention?
Go ahead. Probably shouldn't, but you go ahead.
This one comes from Harry himself. He says, I solemnly swear I am up to no good.
That's more of like a Magic Mike-ish line.
Yeah. All right, all right.
All right, let's move on to our recent film or TV recommendations not previously discussed. Anything you guys want to mention that we haven't already talked about?
God, I got nothing. I feel like this trip I've been on a whirlwind. For those that haven't figured it out, I am in Chicago, and it's cold. I don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah, you're a Floridian.
You're not going to complain about the heat anymore, are you, bitch?
I don't complain about the heat.
Down there you do.
When I'm down there, I complain about the heat. I'm actually enjoying the cold, though. I have a pea coat. I like putting it on. I look really cool doing it.
You look really nice in it, I will say.
Yeah, I like my pea coat.
I don't have anything either.
I don't either.
Any recent event or stuff that we want to talk about, or are we over that? Like, everybody's sick of outrage right now.
Can we just do a thumb war instead?
Yeah, we could do the thumb war, but Scott had something.
Damn. No. I'm saying I feel like there's nothing else. I haven't heard of anything else to be pissed off about because we've only had the one thing.
So. We've broached the subject a couple of times. I don't think we need to go any further.
No, we don't. We're fine. Email. Plus, this is an entertainment show.
Yeah. You know what? If you're going to leave the show happy and be fun. Be excellent to one another. The Bill and Ted ending.
Whoa. I like it.
We get one email, Scott.
This one comes from Nate Bruce. Nate says, guys, you three are amazing, and I love your podcasts. I especially like how you comment on your Facebook group without overwhelming the feed and react to different comments. The ladies are fun to listen to as well. I heard about the Ho from the Blacklist podcast that the Aaron Peterson and that other
award,
guy.
Award-winning Aaron Peterson.
And that other guy. Hi, Troy. Did and have loved every minute of it. I've listened to all the Remake This Movie episodes that iTunes has for the movies I've seen. I'm glad for the extra features from Patreon, and I even looked to some of your suggestions on Zombievers and other films.
You poor bastard.
Well, no. Zombievers was a good one.
Yeah, you like Zombievers.
I did like Zombievers. I did.
He finishes up and says, just wanted to say thank you and keep up the great work. I'm taking the day off to watch Jigsaw and Stranger Things, and I'll remember to buy popcorn and not use a straw to eat. Nate Bruce in Tallahassee.
That's cool.
Nate, that's how you don't get heart disease, so keep that in mind.
Thanks, man. We really appreciate
that. We do appreciate it.
And thanks for supporting us. That's great.
And use a straw when you eat popcorn, because it's awesome.
Oh, man. We saw Thor, and he gets his popcorn. He's got, like, a small, and he still put more butter than I put in my large that I'm sharing with a bunch of people. And he's just, like, he just keeps putting it in. I'm like, Scott, are you good? I mean, it's moist. It is moist at this point.
Is that the second time you use moist in a podcast?
No, he used it last time.
All right.
This time it's my turn, so... Yeah, he likes his popcorn moist, man.
You like how I managed to, you know, make a trifecta out of all three of us saying it?
No, I just think you tried too hard.
Oh, that's damn okay. It.
Do you want a hug, though?
Maybe later?
All right, well, join our Facebook group. Tweet us at Buy Popcorn. Stay through the credits for outtakes if there are any. I don't know. Find other episodes, reviews, and other info at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Or our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Remember to grab the Ho and the Go with our Apple or Android app, Spotify, or subscribe and review us in podcast. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your podcast app of choice. And if you're a Stitcher listener, yes, Stitcher wasn't updating the feed. I don't know what happened, but they finally addressed it, and you should have all the new episodes there now. So you might have missed a couple because they weren't populating until this past week. So be sure to check that out. Right?
Right.
You're eyeballing me. I thought, like, I did something wrong.
Right.
No, I feel like my dad's looking at me.
I was being concerned.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being here. Remember, the next time you do the theater. Oh, wait. Let's hear you get what you guys want to pimp. Scott, I know you got something you want to talk about.
I do would like to pimp my podcast, the Gaming Outsider.
This is like an MTV show. Pimp my podcast.
If you guys haven't heard already, I do another podcast called The Gaming Outsider where we talk about video games. If you love video games, be sure to check that out. Our most recent episode, we talk about the trifecta of video games that came out this past weekend, which included Super Mario Odyssey, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. So be sure to check that out. Same place you listen to this show.
All right, Johnny?
I don't really have anything important to pimp. I mean, if you want to figure out what I'm doing for goofing off and having fun, you can follow me on the Instagrams. I'm rjohn.draws on the Instagrams. On Facebook, my art page is facebook.com/rjohndraws. And I also have a YouTube channel that is currently under youtube.com/brom8378. You can see me do artwork, fly my drones, do a whole bunch of other stuff. I post random pictures at times as well. Hey, I'm friendly.
Okay. That felt like a really sad ending.
Said the serial killer.
Yeah, I would like to mention Remake This Movie Right, of course. There's only two new episodes left of the season, so be sure to check those out. And one of them is Dungeons & Dragons, which should have just hit, and it was hilarious. It was actually a lot of fun. So we actually brought on Dungeon Masters to remake Dungeons & Dragons, so I thought that was a pretty good time. And also Blacklist Exposed. I do that every week if you watch The Blacklist. That's a fun show. We've got interviews with all of the actors, and a special surprise coming up soon, which I'll tell you about when I can tell you, but I can't tell you yet, but there's a cool thing that's happening. And that's going to do it, I think. Thank you, guys. Remember,
thank you.
The next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn.
No matter how expensive it gets.
Why do you hate popcorn?
I love
he popcorn. Doesn't hate popcorn. That's
they should
mad.
Charge him extra for popcorn.
They should
the
charge man, him.
The amount of lacquer he puts in that thing.
I'll get my money's worth. That's kind of why I do it, man. Is this like a millipede running across the floor right now? Do you see it?
Yeah. It's a weird thing.
Well, I don't know about running.
It's sloughing across.
Well, he's got tiny legs.
He's got a million of them.
He's hauling ass for a millipede. He's like Vin Diesel of the millipede.
You saw that movie Turbo with the snail, right?
You know, you guys ever notice on those like pop machines at the theater, you know, where you can get any flavor you want? Mm-hmm. I was in there when I was getting my refill through Thor. And
from Thor himself?
Yeah, from Thor. He was actually the dispensing the pops. It was crazy. And the lady was there, and she picked like six different flavors. It took her at least 5 minutes to pick her pop.
Oh, that's like when I was a kid. If you had like
suicide,
swamp water, or whatever, like that was like a thing when you were a kid, and that's why those machines are made, because kids grew up doing that and they want to do it now.
Oh, I adore getting my soda from that. I go and I'm like, okay, let me get my diet with orange flavoring. Oh, I'm in heaven.
But shouldn't you know what you want when you get there?
Oh, I mean, that's
she's like making decisions on my time.
That's like people that go to the Red Box to shop.
Stab them with little tiny pens.
Redbox is not the same thing as going to Blockbuster. You can't just hang
out.
What
is Blockbuster?
No, I don't know. I just showed our age.
That was past tense. It's a verb, but was done in the previous.
Scott and I both worked at a Blockbuster.
Yeah, we did. That's how I met Angela.
Yeah, that's how I met Angela. That's how we met Angela. She's been on the podcast. Yeah.
That's how I didn't meet Angela.
You should have worked
at Blockbuster. You will meet Angela.
I've met Angela. She slept in my house.
Well, this just got interesting. Are you ready to try and do a podcast like all together and live and stuff?
I just can't believe I have to look at you guys instead of like whatever else I'm looking at while we're recording.
What do you normally look at?
Porn. Stepchildren porn. What?
Yeah, something you brought
what
that
is
up.
Stepchildren
once.
Porn.
Oh, like it's like a big thing. Like people like want to see.
Stepbrothers,
girls their stepbrothers or stepdads.
Yeah, that's another big thing.
Ew.
They call it the Woody Allen collection.
It's like the Criterion collection, but different.